This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk. These are things I do not have tomorrow.
Perfect. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 156 of What Did You Watch This Week. My name is Mike.
And I'm John, and I don't have a proctologist appointment tomorrow, nor do I have school or jury duty.
Which is excellent.
Yep.
It's a holiday in Maine tomorrow, Monday, the April 15th. It's called Patriots Day, only celebrated by Maine and Massachusetts.
Yeah, because Maine is, you know, kind of part of Massachusetts.
Negative, sir.
Used to be.
Used to be. Back before 1820.
Some people still consider it that way.
I don't know. I don't
the Commonwealth think so. Of Massachusetts and Maine.
Most I feel like most people think we're part of Canada.
Yes. Oh, a lot of people. Well, we stole the top half of our state from Canada.
The bloodless war of Aroostook.
Exactly. Why did we take it from them?
I know. You can,
holy God.
Take it back.
Yes, please do.
Just take it back.
I'm okay with no longer being the northernmost continental state in the Union. Washington State can have it if it means that Canada takes back Aroostook and Presque Isle and all that fucking northern shit. They can have it all. There you go. We already earned the rating.
Yeah.
You got me talking about the county.
Why do you hate the county so much?
Why don't you?
I don't hate the county. What's the hate?
Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
So we got a couple weeks of shows to talk about because I was on the way on my Wrassle vacation.
And we were going to have that whole double up thing that we talked about last time.
So exactly, exactly.
We stretched it out. And so there are some shows that we have like two episodes to talk about. There's one show we have three episodes if you watched them. Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, I did watch all three.
Okay.
I didn't know if you were going to say Blacklist because I was behind on Blacklist.
Nope. But we do have, you know, a number of shows where it'll be like, oh, well, there's two episodes to talk about. So
yes.
So a few season finales, a series finale.
Yeah. I did catch up on You're the Worst.
So you're all done with the show.
Yeah. Last night after everyone went to bed, I sat down, I loaded up the app on the TV and I watched all four episodes I was behind.
That turned pretty heavy, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
I mean, it's always been a heavy show anyway. Like, it's comedy, but not just dark comedy, but heavy, heavy.
Yeah, it's dark, vulgar comedy, absolutely. I mean, like, especially this one episode where Lindsay's literally licking her boss's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was
Lindsay
surprised.
Decided to be lesbian all of a sudden.
And that haircut, holy God.
Yeah, I like it. They kept calling her Paul.
Yeah.
And then you see the scene later on where, like, Paul's, like, you just see an outline of a person walking down the hallway and Lindsay's wearing like this, it almost looks like a khaki colored trench coat dress.
Yeah, it was gross.
And then she's sitting there and she goes, me? And then like the light turns on and it's Paul and he's got a trench coat on and they look like they're similarly.
No, that was pretty, that was like over the top even for that show.
Yeah.
Like, having
was.
Lindsay
well, then he
licking her asshole out.
Yeah. Like, and then she called her a C-U-N-T.
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
In like the next sentence. Like, I'm going to stab you when, you know.
Yeah, it really jumped up there, but she was doing it for Gretchen, you know, because Gretchen got fired because everything was going up in flames, literally. So Gretchen set off the sprinkler system.
She was freaking out
as she does do sometimes.
I was surprised. Well, okay. So as the story has gone through all through the whole season, we're seeing like a flash forward in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's implying that Jimmy and
Gretchen,
Jesus Christ, never got married.
Right.
Which they didn't.
Right.
However, it also implied that they weren't together.
Right.
Yes. And then as they kept going further, it kept showing reasons why they weren't. You know, Gretchen's not wearing her wedding ring or engagement ring, and she's not drinking right now.
And she's checking into the hotel alone.
Yeah. And then
Jimmy's selling the house. The car is wrecked.
Yeah. And then there's the episode where he picks up the florist, but it's in the future, and he's giving her a cup of coffee, and she drinks it. She's like, oh, you got it right, finally. Mm-hmm. So there's an implication of a relationship there.
Right.
Yeah. And then they do a really cool thing in the series finale episode.
Oh my god, that was so well.
Where Jimmy is...
Look, before we get to that, we need to talk about the episode before it.
Okay.
Which was the bachelorette party and the bachelor party.
Yes.
Where Edgar gave Jimmy, like, the perfect bachelor party and then took him to the gentleman's club. Not the strip club, but the, you know, secret society type, swilling cognac and cigars. And then... Did you get it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. And then... basically sits him at the bar and Jimmy tells him how much, you know, he appreciates him and how much he loves him. And over the years, I've given you so much crap and I shouldn't have.
Giving you so many reasons why to not be my friend.
Yeah. And then Edgar just looks at him and says, that's going to make this even harder for what I got to say, but don't marry her. You will destroy each other. She is terrible for you.
Yeah.
And Jimmy does an about face and basically tells him, you are a piece of shit. Get the fuck out of my face. Never talk to me again. I never want to see you in my life again. And,
well, basically, Edgar says this because, as he says, like you don't handle things like people should. You ignore things. You ignore her pill dependency. You don't address things with her. And this is why you're going to destroy each other.
Yeah. You will literally be the worst thing for each other ever.
Yeah.
And you will both die from this.
And then on the other side of things, Gretchen's mom shows up out of the blue. And kind of ruins the spa day. And at the end of the day, like, after fighting and this and that and everything, Gretchen's mom basically says, like, my life sucks. I've always hated it. I've been miserable for years. But I don't say anything about that because you shouldn't talk about things like that.
That's right.
And you just keep them to yourself and you deal with it. You know, just because you're feeling a little blue once in a while doesn't mean you have to. And Gretchen's like, I've tried to kill myself many times and you don't care and this and that. And you know, like, there's this one moment before all that breakdown happens where, like, Gretchen thinks there's, like, a ray of hope because her mom says, like, well, then why are you even here? And she goes, of course I'm here. My daughter's getting married. I wouldn't miss that. And then she – and Gretchen's like, oh, finally. And then she follows up, I've had front row seats to the rest of your train wrecks. Why would I miss this
exactly.
one?
Exactly. Yep.
It's like, oh. But at the end of the day, Gretchen's mom faces off with Jimmy and basically says – she's going to resent you because all you do is let all her things go. And whereas Gretchen, on the other hand, says, Jimmy accepts me for who I am. And that's why it works.
And they did a beautiful analogy with a broken glass.
Yes.
Gretchen just, like, knocks a glass off the table, and she goes, see,
yeah.
you just let me do that. And he goes, you're just going to leave it there? She goes, yes, because you let me do that.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. And we forget about it until the end of the episode, and she's pissed at her mom,
yeah.
walks into the kitchen, and steps right on it.
Yeah.
And cuts a gash in her foot.
Yeah.
And it's going right back to the metaphor and saying, yeah. you know, yeah, he let you do that. And look,
yeah.
now you've damaged yourself because you weren't responsible enough to clean it up. He
wasn't,
let you get away with it.
Exactly, because he didn't hold you accountable for your actions.
And it was really well done because they didn't keep going back to the glass to remind you it was there. You forgot about it. And then you're like, oh, snap.
I do also want to bring up how – oh, yeah, so that was that episode, because they kind of merged together, because I watched all four in a row.
Right. And they were, like, one of them was called 4 days Left, and the next one was 3 days Left, so it was like they were rapid fire.
I think the last one was called Pancakes.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hector?
Edgar.
Edgar, Jesus. Edgar shows up to the wedding to give Jimmy the rings, and then he just goes and sits off to the side. He's like, what are you doing here? Oh, and Jimmy's like, oh, you're here to apologize. He's like, no, I'm here for when you decide to leave. You can just jump in the Jeep and we can leave.
Yep.
And so he just puts on a book, audio book, and has snacks, and he's waiting.
Yep.
And then even late, Lindsay goes over to talk to him.
She doesn't know. Nobody knows except for Jimmy.
Right.
But then Lindsay goes over and he tells her.
And then she's like, you really screwed up. You broke up the group. And he's like, I know I did.
Yeah, you're a horrible person.
Yeah, and then he leaves. She leaves, and of course she tells Gretchen. And then Gretchen goes over, and Gretchen just lays into him.
Without even looking at him. She refuses to even look
at him. She looks forward the whole time. And then walks out, and then Edgar starts the vehicle. Looks like he's going to leave, but he just pulls up to someplace else, starts his book again. Because he's just waiting for Jimmy to walk out of this. And
he knows it's coming.
And so Jimmy kind of starts to freak out a little bit because as you watch it leading up to this, she's literally doing nothing for this wedding. She didn't even buy a dress. She didn't buy shoes. She didn't have anything. Like, literally, Edgar and Jimmy basically planned this entire wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets down to it, and he finds out that he sees one of the three guys, the band, shows up. And they give her an envelope. And so he's like, what was in the envelope. And the guy goes, oh, cocaine. He's like, oh, okay, cool. And he walks off. And then he goes over later and he's like, because, you know, Gretchen wanted some cocaine because she didn't want to get all messed up drunk at the wedding. So then later on, when Jimmy sees it, he's going to go take a hit apparently, and he finds it's her vows. And what actually happened was they wrote her vows for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was his catalyst to pick a fight.
Yes.
And they hadn't seen each other in quite a while because they were doing that whole we can't see each other, it's bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of picks a fight with her. And basically says, like, you can't even take the time to write vows. Your mother's right. You're going to resent me. Because – and so they fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good fight.
It is a good
fight. And then Jimmy storms out. And
this was beautiful.
What was great about that, he storms out and he goes and lights a cigarette because you think that's what he's going to do anyways. And then all of a sudden there's, like, the florist. And he's like, I'm so angry. And it's like, oh, this is the future now. They're at the same venue.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really cool the way they did that cut.
Yep.
And again, more implication that they're together. Her, yep. Him and the florist are together.
Yep. But then she says, she's like, I'm sorry. You would have been mad if I had told you about this before anyway. Yep. And he's like, what? And Edgar shows up.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing here? And we're like, wait, oh yeah, this must be the future. Cause you know,
right.
Otherwise he would have known Edgar was there.
Yeah.
And Edgar basically tells him that he's been living in New York and he was glad to finally get out from under Jimmy, you know, they kind of, they briefly gloss over the fact that, you know, he said you shouldn't marry Gretchen, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, it's the only way I could get away from you. It's the only way I could get out from under you.
Yeah.
So that it was a podcast. He was listening to a true crime podcast
while
he was waiting for Jimmy. And he's now adapting that into a play.
Yes.
Or a TV show or something while he's in New York.
Yeah.
And so he was happy about that. And they kind of reconciled in a way.
And then the kid runs out.
Yep.
And I think it was the nanny. No, Gretchen comes out. And they start talking. And again, you can't. And then the nanny's there, who we find out's name, but the florist is there. And then there's a kid out there. But then the implication is that it's Jimmy and the florist, Jimmy and the florist's kid together until Gretchen comes out. And then she mentions, oh, Uncle Edgar. And then they kiss, and then the florist lady comes back out, and Edgar's like, didn't she ask Jimmy's D? Yep, but like, you get it out of the way. That's why she's the perfect nanny, because there's no sexual tension.
Yep.
And then it all unfolds. And then you hear like the little lines of like, so did you enjoy the hotel? Oh, yes, I did. But you're right, I couldn't go 30 days without drinking. Ha, ha, ha. You know what I mean? Well, what about the house? Well, it's not ours anymore. I mean, like, they sum it all up, and then they kind of cut back to the past, or the present, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And because when Edgar sees Jimmy outside, he starts clearing the seat out.
Yep.
And then Gretchen comes out yelling at him. And they kind of get in a little bit more of a fight. And he's like, where are you going? I'm going to go get Edgar's vehicle over there. No, Edgar's gone. You know, like.
Yeah, she's like, shut up, a bitch.
Yeah. And basically, they have a big fight saying, like, they reconcile that they're not going to get married, mm-hmm. but they're just going to choose to be with each other every day.
Yeah. And they do it – basically, they're like, well, what do you want? And he's like, I want pancakes.
Yeah.
And so the two of them just leave.
Yeah.
In the middle of – you know, before the ceremony even starts, they just walk away because that's who they are.
Yeah. And they just decide that they want to be together.
They want to wake up, except that they don't want to have it be official because, as she says, you know I love having one foot out the door at all times.
Yeah.
So
– and they're sitting there at breakfast. And she says to him, oh, and then now they're I think, is it this the point where they're interspersing like
future?
Like they're showing her getting pregnant. They're showing her, you know, them having a baby and he's fast asleep and she's losing her mind.
Oh, yeah.
Just all the things are happening in the future to lead them to where they are, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep. They have little Felicity.
Shows Edgar going to New York. It shows
Vernon and Becca.
Yeah, Vernon and Becca with their troubles, and Vernon's got his medical clinic truck, and Becca's pregnant again, and it shows
Tallulah doesn't look that good. Like, I know that they always made fun of her and said, you know, that she was a dud, but
yeah,
she's like 5 or 6 now, and no, that kid's not going to be winning any pageants.
Yeah, and what the, I can't think of their names.
Paul and Lindsay?
Paul and Lindsay are getting married again, that's whose wedding they're at.
Yep. And they have a little kid together that looks like a little Paul.
Yep. Well, that's obviously Paul's kid. All these things are happening. And then it kind of gets to they're sitting there and Lindsay goes, of course, you know, and not Lindsay, but
Gretchen.
Gretchen says, you know, at any time I could just leave my keys and cell phone, walk out and jump in front of a train. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah. And I'll, he goes, yeah, and I'll get over you very quickly.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
It'll be a very short recovery period, you know, a day or so, and I'll be on to the next person.
I liked when they sat down after they ordered and their phones are just going insane with messages.
And then the one thing about the whole wedding that upsets her, she goes, oh, no. Oh, we're going to lose all of our gifts. And he goes, nope, I already called Vernon and had him start throwing them in the back of the truck.
Yeah. And then they bring their food and they just start eating off each other's plates. And that's the end of it. I'm pleased with it.
I am as well.
It's a satisfying ending to me.
Yep. For such a weird show that I only got into because it looked like it was going to be dark humor.
Yeah.
It really, like, it had a lot to do with mental illness.
Yes.
It had a lot to do with social norms, ego. I mean, there was family issues. There was a lot in these episodes. Like, the more it went on, the more I found myself, like, laughing, of course, but then really getting introspective and looking at things saying, wow, this is a deep, deep show.
Yeah.
And even this, the way that they did this, you're right, it was just magical, the way that they kept interspersing the future and the past. And
yeah, they did it more and more in that last episode, and but they did it well.
Yep.
So, the way they cut from future to present, like, when after him and after Jimmy and Gretchen had the fight, and he said, I'm going to have a smoke, and he walks outside, and we're now in the future, they go back inside, and as they're heading in, he goes, oh, I forgot my lighter, and he turns back to go get it, and now we cut to the present of Jimmy storming outside. I mean, they really did a good job on those edits.
They did.
And we got to see, what's his name? Ben Folds? Was that the wedding? Was that the wedding again? But we also saw some other characters that had been in other episodes or previous seasons that we really didn't. And there's one in particular I'm like, okay, I know I should know him. He kind of looks like Stephen Merchant, but I don't know who he is. But when they're at the Gentleman's Club.
Oh, yes.
But they're implying that I should know who that is.
Yeah, I felt the same way, but I don't remember who it was.
Same with a few other wedding guests, you know. But no, I thought it was a very satisfactory
finish to the show. I don't feel like I would have done anything different. We got to see that at least 5 or 6 years from now, Felicity looked to be about that old.
Yeah.
You know, at least they're still together in whatever form that takes. She's still alive. And
I don't know if I'd ever go back and rewatch the series again.
I might. Just because I'd want to see, like, how different it was in the beginning compared to this one. Because I was watching it from the beginning, and you picked it up a little later into it. So it's more condensed.
But, I mean, I have watched every episode.
Right.
Started later than you. But, so I don't know. It'd be interesting, I guess, but not something I need to buy, at least.
No.
Anyhow. What do you want to talk about next? My computer went dark. We talked about that one.
So. I know. Mine did it a couple of times. Well, let's see. Are you caught up on What We Do in the Shadows?
I haven't watched any episodes. I know there's 3 episodes, about a half hour each. I do need to watch them, but I got everything up. Because I can watch it at work, I end up watching all of Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, nice. I've gotten 6 episodes in.
There's 10 in the season.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the season so far. It's really the best thing.
Cade Gary's head?
Yes, who is now voiced by Alan Tudyk. You know, like, remember I asked you, oh, is Nathan Fillion back? Is Gary's head? You're like, well, Gary's head's there. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then I'm watching it, and I'm like, hey, wait a second. Is that Alan Tudyk?
And this is amazing. They did it cool. You know, they're like, well, he decayed even further. So
and
basically the director said they just couldn't get Nathan. You know, he was busy with The Rookie and stuff like that. Yeah. So they said, we've always loved Alan Tudyk, and he was available, so we were like, what if? You know, it's kind of like Doctor Who.
Yeah, I'm 100% okay with it.
I am too.
Yeah.
I love it when they give him the headset and tell him that he's going to be the answering service.
Oh, God, yes.
He's really mastering that Alexa and iPad. Yeah.
obviously, this season, we learn more about the Knights of Serbia.
Yep.
We learn about a lot of things.
I'm sorry. Don't know the actor's name, but the guy who was the Knight of Serbia and he's decided to go marry his girlfriend down in Hawaii.
Yeah.
He's fucking Dave. Dave from Happy Endings, and this was more Dave than he's been in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I pictured this being the lead into Happy Endings. Like, he's going to marry his girlfriend in Hawaii, you know? It could have easily been. And then his brother, Ethan Suplee,
is
going to take over, and he's the not quite all there former sniper, shot a moth with a crossbow.
So you have 4 episodes left to watch.
Yep. I really wanted to see them take out Joel McHale and his wife there. I wanted to see that, but yeah, it's so good. The show is so good. The writing is so
funny.
Good.
It's funny. Rude said he tried to watch, he just couldn't get into it, and
he's the only one.
Well, no, because then I recommended Jenna watch it, and she started watching it, and she went, well, I watched like 4 episodes. I don't know. I just can't get into it. So she started watching Black Summer on Netflix, which is another zombie show.
Oh, yeah.
And she's really enjoying that one.
Well, that tells me a lot about this person.
I haven't watched any Black Summer yet. I don't know.
I haven't either. A friend of mine was telling me that he did. But I'm sorry. One of my favorite jokes, because they always have such quick jokes in this.
Yeah.
One of my favorite jokes was in like episode 5 or 6 when their neighbor comes over to the house. She kind of like lets herself in and she says, she's like, blah, 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 blah. My girlfriend left me. You know, she's having some kind of spiritual awakening. Where's your alcohol? Joel goes, at 11 a.m.? She goes, why? Does it move around during the day? It was just so beautiful.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I will finish that up this week.
Oh, good.
Then we can go.
Yeah, I'd rather wait than deep dive it, because I don't want to accidentally give something away, because I watched them back to back, basically.
Right.
I watched them over the course of just like, I kind of had them on while I was doing schoolwork,
mm-hmm.
so I was paying attention, but.
Yeah. It's a very easy show to binge, even when you try not to.
It really is, because they're short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and without any commercials. It's just so.
I will say this. We'll talk about what we do in the shadows when you catch up. But I have to say, the energy vampire is my favorite character so far. And they really, like, whenever they spin it off to him,
yep.
I'm the happiest. The show was great anyway, but he's just phenomenal.
Did we talk about the This Is Us finale? Or did I just watch it?
You just watched it. Because the last one that we talked about was R&B.
Okay.
Randall and Beth.
So, This Is Us finale.
Season, not series.
Yeah, season finale. So just to jump right into the meat and potatoes of it all, we
bookend.
Yes.
On Rebecca being in the car accident. And,
yeah.
You know, when she was younger. You know, when the kids were like 12 or so.
So she's in the hospital.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with her being in the hospital and their kids, and we're dealing with, basically at the end of the day, this through this whole thing. I still don't know if Toby and Kate are together, because that's kind of left.
She's even alive.
Well, no, because Toby mentions, oh, I talked to Jack. He's on there. And he says, and they're on their way.
Who's they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't know. Cause we don't know. You're right. We don't know if Kate's alive or not.
Yeah.
And then Tess, who's like really reluctant to go see her mom, mm-hmm. To go see whoever it is. And then again, with Beth and the implication that they're now Beth and Randall are divorced, but at the end of the day, what it is they're together still.
Mm-hmm.
She's opened her own dance studio in Philadelphia because that's where they moved to.
Because mm-hmm.
after the whole like fight they had together, and then the next episode and everything, Beth's at class teaching, and then the lady runs in and goes, "Beth, can you teach blah blah blah's class on Sunday morning?" "Oh yeah, no problem." And she goes, "Great, great." She goes, "I mean, you can do this one with your eyes closed. It's just for like." Four moms trying to lose that last 10 pounds of baby weight that they're never going to lose. So you don't have to wear it. It's nothing. And then Beth's like, oh, shit. And then she looks around and she sees that she is basically teaching middle-aged women to twirl.
Yep.
And this isn't really her dream of what she wanted.
Right.
And maybe she's picked the wrong fight to stand on.
The wrong hill to die on.
Yeah. So essentially they decide that, and I liked how, okay.
Well, she kind of made the decision.
So she makes the decision that, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sell the house. We're going to move to Philadelphia. I found a place where we can live upstairs and have a studio downstairs, you know, and I can open my own studio and we're going to make it work. And of course, Randall agrees.
Well, first he's like, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, we've grown up in this house. We've raised our kids in this house. Yeah. We got married in this house. She's like, yeah. And it served us good then. And now we're moving on.
She's right, though.
Yep.
I liked how Deja's like, you know, come on, Deja, we got to go to your debate meet. And she's like, okay. Did you know Deja joined debate? No, I just found out. Okay. Is this, you sure this is the address? Yeah, this looks a little sketchy. Yeah, Randall, I'm not in debate. The idea of just sitting there and arguing with people just seems so stupid to me. And she goes, all right, now listen. And she tells some, she goes, like, you're not the only one that can bring someone out, take someone on a long drive to give him a speech.
That's right.
And essentially she said, this is a foster home I was in. This is how horrible it was, you know? You hit the jackpot, not once, but twice. You hit the jackpot when you got adopted. You hit the jackpot when you found Beth, you know? And you've won twice, and you need to make sure that you're, it was a good little speech.
Yep.
You know, you need to fulfill the fact that you won twice.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, own up to it.
Yeah.
And take care of that woman.
He's like, so I don't know what you guys did or what's going on, but you need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're right. And she goes, now, come on. I'm all, after all this talk, I want a cheeseburger, yeah, or whatever it is. And so he's like, okay, get in the car.
So we got some good resolution there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the hospital, we have Kate, Toby, and her mom.
Yeah.
They finally take little Jack off the ventilator.
Yes.
And see if he can breathe on his own. And he does. But then the doctor explains to them, she's like, you know, you need to understand, he basically has apnea.
Yes.
And so he might forget to breathe.
Yes.
And she's like, if he does, just, you know, you're gonna hear some bells and some sirens and everything like that. Just tap his foot, you know, yeah, just scare him a little bit.
To remind him to wake him. Yeah.
Yeah. And Rebecca, mom, is, yeah, writing everything down in this notebook. And how do I spell that? And Kate's like, mom, will you back off? You know, the doctor. And mostly it's because Kate didn't think of this stuff herself. You know, she's right, not writing anything down. She's scared. And she's, her not, mom's like,
she's not asking good questions either.
Right. And then the doctor does get called away, and yep, Kate's feeling slighted, and she finally blows up at her mom and says, you know, you're annoying me and you're pissing me off, because,
yep,
Jack starts not breathing.
And she freaks out and yells like, nurse, we need help. And instead of doing what she was told, she, right, runs away to get help.
Yep.
And all of a sudden the noise stops and baby's crying.
Because, yeah, Rebecca just went and over,
like,
and tapped him.
I tapped his foot and reminded him to breathe. It's okay. And then the nurse comes over and is like, yeah, great job, grandma. You did what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
And then Kate's like, fuck you, mom. Yeah. I can't live up to you. You're so wonderful and I'm so terrible.
Yeah. And so mom, yeah, leaves. She's like, yeah, I'm just going to go home for a bit. And then, yeah, Kate sees the notebook and sees how she wrote down everything, right, detail, blah, blah, blah. Goes home and tells her, you know, I'm so sorry. I can never live up to you. And you're so perfect. And she's like, no, I'm not. And they have this emotional thing.
And that's something Kate needs to get over.
That's
been all of them. That's been the storyline since the first episode.
Yep.
Where Kate feels inferior to mom. Like, she can't live up to her mom. Never be as good as her mom. Never be as skinny, never be as smart, never be as anything as good as her mother is.
And, as good of a singer.
Yeah, and good at anything.
Yep.
Then I don't have a parent like that.
No, me either. Then we have Kevin. Kevin really pissed me off this week. And I know that in the past.
Which time?
Yeah. I know that in the past I've said that, and, you know, you watch the episode and you go, well, it wasn't that bad because that's who Kevin is.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing, and this one was personal for me, because they have this moment, him and Zoe, they're basically talking, and she's like, you know, I'm never going to want to have kids. I don't want to have kids, and you do. And he's like, well, that's okay, because given the choice between the two, I'll choose you. I will forego having kids to be with you, because I don't want you out of my life.
And she's like, no, Kevin, I really don't want kids.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
No, he won't, no, because then he starts being a dick. And I won't even say manipulative, because manipulative is too light of a word. He's straight up, they're babysitting for Randall's kids, you know, while Randall and Beth are away.
Yeah.
And he's straight up saying stuff to her like, you know, hey, you know, my mom didn't want kids at first. She never thought she'd want to be a mom, and the idea of kids was just alien to her. Then look at her now, you know, she had three kids and she was great. She says it's the best thing she ever did. Boy, you were really good with that girl. Yeah. You know, you were really good with helping her with her homework.
You'll change your mind.
Yeah.
You don't know because, you'll change your mind.
Which,
it was annoying.
As someone who has chosen not to have kids and made a decision a long time ago,
yep,
I've had people say the same thing to me. You know, they look at me and they go, don't worry, someday you'll want them. No, I won't. Don't worry. You're going to change your mind someday. No, it's not a matter of changing my mind. It's that I don't want them. And so seeing him weaseling her like that and being a dick like that, I just wanted to punch him. Like, what a fucking asshole, you know? And then she finally stands up to him and says, look, go be a dad. Go have a kid. Go have kids. You want to have kids, obviously.
Yeah.
I want that for you. I don't want kids. He's like, well, maybe you will. She's like, no,
I
never will.
So, yeah, they break up.
Good.
Well, and then,
he's used to having everything once again.
And then I did read that she's no longer going to be a cast regular on the show, and she's left the show.
Good. Maybe she'll do something.
But then when we go to the future, and we're all there, and it's Randall and Toby and Beth and grown-up Tess and everything, they're all at this place, and then you see kind of a little kid. He's like
a little blonde kid.
Maybe 10 or whatever, and it's like, you know, like, where's your dad? Oh, you know, we realized we didn't have any food in the house, so we went to the store to buy food or something. Get takeout.
And they had already said before that they were at Kevin's house.
Yeah. So Kevin has a kid.
Yeah.
We don't know who mom is.
Nope.
And
although with that blonde hair and white complexion, you know, it could be his ex there.
Right. And then basically mom has Alzheimer's and doesn't know who anyone is, which is tough because Randall walks in and he's like, hey, mom, it's me, Randall, your son. How's she doing? And they kept, is he here? Yeah, he's in there with her, blah, blah, blah. And then it cuts to, it's Nikki.
Yeah.
Nikki's there sitting at her table.
See, at first I thought that I imagined it, and I thought that he said, hey, Miggy, Miguel. And I'm like, why would he call him Miggy?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, that's Nikki.
Yeah.
What the hell is Nikki doing
here? Where's Miguel?
Yeah.
So.
They had certain things. It was interesting. You know, Beth said, I got to pin the tail on the donkey.
Yeah.
And Toby, I brought the sidewalk chalk.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if these are all trigger things that, you know, this is what she remembers and what she associates. But Toby looked older. You know,
yeah, they all looked older. Sunken. Yeah. He at one point goes, are you sure she wants me here or something like that?
Oh, no. Randall said, you know, I'm really glad you decided to come. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, of course. Yeah. But that gave the impression that, you know, he wouldn't have come normally.
Because,
which, again, leads you to believe
that,
like,
Kate is gone or
they're divorced or something. But he did say, you know, I talked to Jack and
they're on their way. Yeah. But that could be Jack and his girlfriend or Jack and his wife.
Yep. Or a second child.
Yeah.
Maybe Kate died in the second childbirth.
We don't know.
Nope. So, yeah, they left us, just like last time, they left us with a lot of questions.
But honestly, if the show didn't get renewed for whatever reason and didn't come back, I'm shrugging my shoulders. Sorry.
Yeah.
Superstore. Got two episodes to talk about.
Two episodes.
Minor Crimes and Salary.
Uh-huh.
So Minor Crimes is great because Glenn announces that he's not going to be store manager anymore. He's just going to be a floor worker like everybody else.
Which I'm really glad because they had kind of ended the previous episode on that. And it was like, geez, are they going to go forward with that or... But yeah, they did. He's out.
And then Dina is basically telling Amy, you should apply to be the manager because, well, I don't want to be it, and you should be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's the general manager that doesn't like Amy.
Lori.
Or the district manager or whatever, yeah.
Well, they had that whole thing earlier where, you know, Amy kind of ran her over with a golf cart.
Right.
You know. I guess I'd be kind of mad at that person as well.
So she refuses to give Amy an interview, and then Dina's like, subsection blah, 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 you're required to give her an interview because she's been to the management training. And by the end of the day, she nepotizes things and gives the job to her son, Glenn, who says, where's the inventory?
They're like, it's kind of all around. All right, okay, cool. I'll go look for it.
Yeah.
And then later on, what was it? It was like, we're out of peas. And they're like, okay. And he's like, but I checked, and one of the stores like 20 miles away has some. So I'm going to go buy them and bring them here. And they're like,
hopefully they're not selling them more than we are, else we're going to be taking a loss on this.
He's like, it's got to be like 20.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And Amy basically catches Lori doing coke.
Oh, yeah.
And at first...
Sucking up a big old nose.
And at first, she's not going to... And so the lawyer's like, hey, I'm going to make you the manager. And Amy's like, well, no, if I deserve it, then otherwise I don't want it. Oh, okay, never mind then. And then now Amy finally, at the end, blackmails her and is like, give me the job or else.
Yeah.
And so that Amy gets the manager's job.
Yep.
In the meantime, when they're cleaning out Glenn's office, it's Garrett and Jonah. why is there a big bag of money? Oh, that's the rainy day fund. What do you mean? Oh, you know, like if there's stuff that works to be done, you know, that's the fund that we use to do that. So I get it every year. So if we don't use it up, I expense it out and then I put it in that bag for when we need it.
Yeah. It's basically the maintenance fund.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're given $10,000 a year, for instance, to do maintenance of the store, like fixing hair dryers and stuff.
Right.
And whatever he didn't use, he just tucked away in a bag.
Exactly. So, Glenn, the company thinks you spent that money.
Yeah.
But you didn't. Well, no, but I mean, if I didn't do that, then they would take it away. So,
but now the next manager can use it.
Yeah, that's not how that works. That's not extortion.
Embezzlement.
This is embezzlement. Oh no! You know,
he goes. That's embezzlement, Glenn. He goes, I thought that's when you put rhinestones on a jacket. Mateo goes, no, that's bedazzling, and that's also a lie.
Yeah, that was my one note from that episode. Yeah. That was kind of like my one note.
So they decide that the best way to handle this is to break whatever it was, like $27,000 worth of stuff in the store.
Yeah.
You know, they've got $27,000 to spend, so they just go around just destroying walls.
Yes, and mirrors. And just wrecking the place. And then the guy shows up and he's like, it's going to be about $18,000. What? Why so little? Okay, well, look, in the past, I was always overcharging you guys because you always paid it, and now I'm just trying to do the right thing. Well, this is unacceptable. Okay, $15,000. That's as low as I can go. And so the episode ends with Glenn driving his car through the front doors of the store because that's about $12,000 worth of damage, doesn't it?
Oh, that was brilliant.
And then we get the next episode, episode 15, Salary, and this is where Amy is her first day as the manager.
This was frustrating in a number of places.
And Glenn is the devoted to floor worker, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he has on an old school smock like they used to wear. Yep. And he's got on like these shoes and I don't know. And he's just so excited to be a floor worker again. And we find out that Amy's salary is $109,000.
Plus a $10,000 bonus, yeah. Approximately.
Plus perks like a company car, which is a Lexus and this and that and everything. And she gets to hire an assistant. He goes, I get an assistant. Well, Glenn always thought that came out of his pay.
Yeah.
And then we find out Glenn took a $90,000 pay cut to go work on the floor or whatever it was. You know, like.
It was ridiculous. Garrett tries to break Glenn's spirit the whole time because Garrett's like, no, this job sucks. And Glenn's like, no, it's just how you look at it. And, you know, he volunteers to go clean up diarrhea and vomit.
And loves it. Oh, I got some mayonnaise on me. And no big deal. And
Garrett's like, no, you need to understand this job sucks. And he's like, well, you're just looking at it negatively. And yeah. The part that was annoying to me, though, was how every interaction that Cheyenne and Amy had, because Cheyenne was basically turning this into a one percenter type of thing.
Oh, that was annoying.
You know, she's on the register and she's like, this woman wants to use her WIC for diapers. And Amy's like, well, no, you can't do that. It's against the law. Like, that's not just rules. That's the law.
Right. Yeah.
And the woman's like, well, don't you know how expensive diapers are? And Amy's like, well, yeah, I have a baby as well. And she goes, yeah, but you make $109,000, so you're not even in the same boat as this woman. And basically guilts Amy into buying the woman's diapers. And then the woman starts putting candy up on the counter. And Amy's like, well, I'm not paying for the candy. Oh, so I'm too fat? You're saying that I'm too fat, so you're regulating what I can eat now? She's like, fine, I'll pay for the candy. I was like, no.
I hated that.
Yeah. And Mateo made himself floor supervisor.
Yeah.
He just
started doing it. I like the part where it's like, who made you the floor supervisor? Yeah. I just went and got a clipboard out of whatever it was, out of the stationery, and put paper on here and just started making things up. Yeah,
that's what I did. Uh-huh. But he did. Like, when he goes to Sandra and he's like, I need you to go do that. And she legitimately, like, she stands there and she's like, wait a minute. But why are you... And he's just like, you could see he's visibly sweating, like, oh god, is she gonna call me on it? And then finally she's like, okay, and walks away, and he's like, oh, it worked. And then he like hangs his sign up on a picture of himself up on the wall that says floor supervisor. And
Jonah seems pretty cool with the fact that Amy makes more money than him and doesn't seem to care at all.
Yeah, well, he's very progressive,
right? Yeah,
she'll take care of him, I'm sure.
I wish if my wife made more money than me, I would not care at all.
I'm sure.
I really wouldn't.
You might be a little happier, actually.
Could be. Could be.
Another good show, though.
Yes.
Did you watch the most recent two episodes of Tacoma FD?
No.
Okay. They were good. The first one's a prank war with the cops.
Nice.
And the second one is when Lucy joins the team.
Okay.
Best part of that was apparently rookies all get nicknames. And so she wants to know what her nickname is. And they're like, no, we can't tell you. We can't tell you. You know, we got to get to know you a little bit. She's like, well, what's my dad's nickname? And we're like, they're like, no, we can't tell you that. And she's like, why not? Come on. I'm a fireman, too. And, you know, she finally beats it down. And they're like, all right, it's Tuna Can. They're like, she's like, Tuna Can? Why is it Tuna Can? Because his junk is wider than it is long. She's just like, oh, oh. And then later on, of course, Farva's up there opening up a can of tuna. And she's just like, So her new nickname is going to be Chunk Light because she came from the Tuna Can. Like, yeah.
That's awesome. That is legit awesome.
Are you caught up on The Blacklist?
Yes and no. The one that was on last Friday night, I have not watched yet.
Okay. Okay.
But I did watch, I think you had already watched these other two episodes or last week when we chatted.
I am all caught up.
Which was The Awesome Umbrella Company?
Yes.
Watch that one.
Yes.
That was excellent.
It was.
Where Samar's awesome. Trying to get away and they put out a hit on her and everything and how all that went down. That was fantastic.
Yeah, basically Odette Fair took out a hit on her because her brain was degenerating. And yep. It's going to keep degenerating. It's irreversible. And he's like, she knows stuff. And right now she can keep a secret, but eventually she won't be able to. And this is just, it was interesting because, you know, he's like, this is Mossad. This is what we do.
Yeah.
You know, this is nothing personal. They're protecting state secrets that she has in her head that one day she will be okay with just letting slip. So he put out a hit on her, but she used to work for the Osterman Umbrella Corporation. So she knew their techniques and everything.
Yeah.
And it was fun watching, you know, spy versus spy.
Basically, yeah.
And Aram was going to run away with her.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, let's go run away and I'll take care of you and it'll be good. And in a twist that everybody saw coming, she
left
him. Yeah. And the worst part was, is that she didn't just leave him. She enlisted Red to help her escape and hide herself, not just from him, but from everybody. And Aram cold cocked Red like right in the jaw. And Dembe took a step forward. He was going to.
Yeah.
Red's like, no, he deserves it.
I really like how, I don't know why I like this, but when Red, someone's messing with someone who Red cares about, which he clearly cares about Samar, he becomes very ruthless.
Yes, he does.
You know, like he killed that other Mossad agent, the one that put the hit out, the one that put the, you know, the green lit the hit on him.
And with the plastic bag and everything?
Yeah.
Gave him the whole speech and basically got the info from him, and he's like, you don't mess with my people.
And then and then like the head of Mossad's like, what did you do with Sarif or whatever the guy's name was? And he's like, I really don't know. No, it was a really good episode.
Yep.
And then the episode after that was Blacklister was Olivia Olson.
Yes.
And she is has a knack for taking over criminal organizations, and there's a connection between her and the new head of the
task force,
because she was hired to do whatever it was that we've seen. I can't think of that.
Basically, she, like, we see her initially talking to a corrupt cop.
Yes.
And shows pictures to him. She always does remote meetings, usually from the back of a moving van.
Yeah.
And she showed him pictures of himself, you know, taking bribes. She's like, you've protected this gang. You've done this. And he's like, so what is this, blackmail? She's like, well, kind of. But, you know, basically the cartel that you were working for, they're gone. They're done.
Yeah.
My cartel is coming in. You now work for us. And he's like, what if I don't want it? She's like, it doesn't matter. You will work for us. That's it. That's the way that it works. So, yeah, she's that kind of a fixer, and she's done some fixing for the new head. And
Yep.
The next one's interesting. It's called Lady Luck.
What's that one about?
It's about Lady Luck. It's kind of a, well, you get to see Aram's Aram is still pissed at Red.
Well, we see that in the Olivia Olsen episode where he basically breaks into Aram's account, closes it out.
Okay.
I mean, breaks into Red's account, closes it out, takes all the money.
That was the one.
And then tries to blackmail Reddington to, with the money to take him to Samar. And it's at this point where he realizes that she did leave me. And she doesn't, you know, and basically gives Red his money back. And he owes him interest now.
Yeah, I owe him like $56,000. Because Red's like, you know, just keep calculating it in your head how much money I am losing while you keep my money out. But he looks at the little camera in the clock on his mantle. Because he knows, and he's like, I will never take you to her.
Yes.
You will never find her.
Because that's one of the things that Red says is, like, they will find you. You will make a mistake. You will call someone. You will do something. You are too trusting. You are too naive. And you will make a mistake, and it will get her killed.
Yep.
And you do not want to live with that guilt.
And he basically acknowledges that.
Yeah.
No, the next one, Lady Luck. So, again, I watched them back-to-back, so I knew that it was somewhere in there. The next one, Lady Luck, is basically this woman. I won't give you the full details, but she finds people who have a gambling problem. And she finds everything out about them and then goes to them and says, hey, I'll wipe your debt clean for you to take a one more bet on yourself. And she basically... It's I don't even want to say what she does because it's almost Twilight Zone-y.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Kind of cool.
I look forward to that.
Yeah. So it was a cool episode, and it was nice to see just a straight up blacklister. Although now we've got this other story in the background where Wrestler is trying to find Liz's mom.
Because although Liz has accepted that, well, Reddington is who he is, and oh well, I'm accepted it.
Yeah.
Now Wrestler's like, he's like, no, now I'm going to find out where your mom is, what happened to her.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes for him.
So, New Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I know we don't normally do a deep dive into this show, and I don't plan on doing it today, but I will say the most recent episode was a really good episode.
The one with the power failure?
Yeah, because the show took like a month off.
Yes.
So we kind of had a cliffhanger finish at the last episode, but, yeah, essentially, this is the backup generator doesn't kick on. It turns out it's broken. They're doing open-heart surgery on a guy without... tools and stuff, the one that fell on the fence post pike, and it's a good episode, ultimately.
It's a good episode, but honestly, like, they went on too long of a hiatus, because things like the guy who had fallen on the fence post,
you forgot about. Yeah.
You know? And they had that whole funny thing where he was talking about how his husband likes the towels folded a specific way, and he doesn't want to bother with that because it's pretentious, and you know, it takes you a minute to be like, why do I care about this guy? Oh, that's right. He was out in the snow. And
It was kind of a long hike, unexpectedly long hike.
Yeah.
But it was still, I think my favorite part of the episode was you had the prisoner who was going to fix it for him.
Yep.
And then it looks like he escapes, but he just lied. Well, no, I knew that you'd never let me go down and blah, blah, blah. So I just went down to the pool and got the new pump and replaced it. And it's working fine now.
Yep. Yeah, he knew the welding wasn't going to work. And that if he said that, the cop would have locked him back up and never would have let him go down. He's like, but you had an old swimming pool here, so I knew there had to be a pump motor.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was cool.
It was a good episode.
Yep, it was.
Again, it wasn't life-altering.
No.
But it was a good episode. I'm trying to think. Oh, the kids are all right. I'll just talk. It's a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's fun. It's a good show.
Similarly, Schooled is a great show.
I actually did mean to watch some more Schooled. I just haven't.
Yep.
But I actually do plan on trying to watch some of it.
This was a good one because the kids discovered that there used to be a radio station at the school.
Yep.
And the kid that comes up and says this, he's like talking to the principal to CB. He's like, I heard that there used to be a radio station here. You know, could we get it up and running? And he's like, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And you could see that the kid's wearing a white shirt with Christian Slater from Pump Up the Volume.
That's awesome.
And so the kid walks off, and Lainey's like, you know, you do realize that he wants to be like Slater. And he goes, oh, AC Slater? Yeah, he's a cool guy. And she's like, what are you talking about? He goes, you aren't cool with Saved by the Bell? And she's like, no, Pump Up the Volume. So she makes him sit down and watch the movie, and he's like, wow, this guy's a badass. I want to be him. She goes, but do you want the kids to be him in school?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Pump up the volume. Pump
that
up
was
the
a volume. Great pump up the volume.
I haven't watched it in so long, now I need to watch it.
Samantha Mathis, Christian Slater, Happy Harry Hard On. Yeah, I love that movie.
So, The Rookie.
Two episodes.
All right. So, the first episode's called The Shake-Up.
Which...
Oh, no, it's not. That's the one where they switched around. Homefront, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the one where IA is investigating because they just arrested a cop.
Yes.
And because he had been, what was it? He perjured himself.
Yes.
And so now they've got like 10 years worth of cases to go through. They've already kicked three criminals of his loose. And we have to deal with them, you know, go check on them. One of them is a woman who's been in prison for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And she never did it. And basically her husband took their kid and left and said, I don't want our kid to have anything to do with you. You're a criminal.
Yeah.
And now she's like, he's never going to believe me. You know, I've been gone for 10 years, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, the other ones are actual, like, criminal types. And,
right. So they have a big thing where they kind of – everyone has to cross their I's, dot their T's, whatever. And Nolan's trainer – I can't think of her name.
Yeah.
Her brother has a connection to one of the criminals. But what we don't know is that she has a brother. But they're not really brother and sister. It's her – this is where I guess semantics.
Yeah.
It's a foster brother that she had for less than a year or about a year.
Yep.
And that was it. But she lied about him on her application saying she wasn't, you know, as disassociating herself with him. But realistically, it was a foster brother for 1 year. Why would you put that down?
I don't.
But they're making a big mountain out of this molehill.
Because it's perjury.
Essentially, she lied on her application before she entered.
Yep.
And so she goes to see him because he has a connection with one of the guys that escaped, who they think, or was released, who they think is still a criminal. And of course, she follows her brother by herself because Nolan is off being served being sued civilly for allegedly knocking a guy down on a pursuit.
Yeah.
And Nolan is just incredulous and makes all the mistakes that you know that, you know, doesn't listen to his lawyer because his lawyer's young and doesn't know anything.
And it's not because he's – like, if this was Bradford, you'd say it was because Bradford is very arrogant.
Yeah.
And you'd be right. But Nolan is just like – he's Mr. Helpful.
Yeah.
He wants to help the situation. Like, at one point, the guy basically turns on the waterworks and has this whole sob story. And, oh, the cops have done this over the years, and they broke into my house once, and they did this.
Ran down my dog and this and that.
And he's like, and not one of them has ever bothered to even say sorry. And Nolan goes, oh, nobody's ever apologized to you?
Is that all you want?
Let me apologize to you. I'm sorry.
And then
the lawyer's like, I love the judge there. He's like, you're not very good at this, are you? He's like, my client and I would like a recess. I bet you would.
Yeah, because the guys, the other guys, like, well, that's Officer Nola's admitted fault. We down like $100,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, so it leaves his TO by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she follows her brother. He ends up with this guy. They're going to go rob this drug house. He gets shot, another guy gets killed, they end up taking her hostage and this and that, and she's like, he's going to kill me, and eventually her brother kills him, kills the bad guy to save her, and then she arrests him.
Yep, and he's like, you could just let me go. Why are you doing this? You got to ruin my life. And she's like, I got to do the right thing, you know?
And then we get the episode, The Checklist.
Which, I fucking love this episode.
Which, this episode, okay, so... because of all the new regulations and this, that, and everything, you know, like, it doesn't count if they assisted on a call. They had to have been lead on all these different calls.
Yes. And it's a normal checklist. It's not like they just pulled this out of their ass.
Exactly.
But this is normally their one-year checklist after they've taken their test.
Right.
Their six-month test.
Now they're making them do the checklist before their six-month test. And and Nolan was lead on everything. He had nothing to check off.
Right.
So because of that, he gets, like...
Desk duty,
gets to work the front desk. He's doing other stuff because Talia, his TO, is she's getting her IA investigation.
Right. Yeah, she's going to go stand before the chief of police and basically plead her case.
Yeah.
And Nolan, of course, being Mr. Helpful, keeps saying over and over again, you know, I should do so. I should write a letter or I should talk to him. And they're like, no, you're a rookie. You are the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
It will mean absolutely nothing. Even the vice detective there.
Yeah.
You know? He's like, yeah, it's not going to help. Don't bother.
Nolan's friend, the guy that owns the house, gets jumped and beat up and his car stolen after buying this wicked nice car. And so Nolan ends up helping Vice track down the guy and set a booby trap and catch him and this and that and everything. And
then which was a cool car.
Yeah, it was.
It was cool that, you know, that they had the remote access to it. And
so Nolan does that. He has desk duty for a little bit. In the meantime, West, he has to check like three things off.
Mm-hmm.
And Chen has to check off, like, seven things.
Because as Bradford says, he goes, I never let my boots be primary until after they've taken their exam. Or after 2 months.
Yeah.
So she hasn't been primary for a lot of this stuff.
Right. And and so Bradford's like, no. Because the thing is, if they don't check off their list, they can't take their test. If they can't take their test, they don't pass, they fall behind.
Yep.
And they end up staying with a TL longer. So Bradford's like, no boot of mine is going to fall behind because no one's ever fallen behind on them before.
Yep.
They've quit. They've washed out, but they've never not made it.
So she has seven things to check off. And they're all kinds of different things, you know, like possession of meth, grand theft auto, assaulting an officer. I'm just trying to go through what that woman did.
Yes.
Presenting false information.
And essentially, they have 2 days to get it all done. On first day, Chen checks off nothing.
Nothing.
And then on day two, they go to this call, and she literally gets six of seven things on this one call, you know?
Because it was a drunk woman who crashed her car, which is destruction of public property, which was one of them. And then she they find out that the car is stolen because she stole it from her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then she grabs a woman's scooter, like not even a motorized scooter, just a hand scooter.
And tries to steal that.
And crashes it. And Bradford goes, well, it's theft of a vehicle. Yeah, it's theft of a vehicle. He goes, you know, even though it doesn't have a motor. And then they ask her what her name is, and she says something ridiculous. And they're like, okay, presenting false.
Yeah.
And then she throws the
scooter or something, and it hits Bradford. Well, that's assaulting an officer. And he goes, go get her, boo. And then, like, she crashes into something else again. And so he checks off.
Six out of seven.
Six out of seven.
Yep.
On the other end,
she had gotten the seventh one the day before.
Oh, no, she checked that. Well, she had one left to get, possession of meth.
Yes. Still. Which she hasn't yet,
At the end of the episode, she's like, oh, I didn't check everything off. He's like, I got to proof for overtime, get your gear, we're going to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And they head out.
Yeah.
Because one of the things she checked off the day before was ethical dilemma.
Yes.
She had eight things to check off, and that one was this woman who they didn't have enough money to register both vehicles, so they just registered her husband's vehicle. His vehicle broke down, so they put his plates on her car and this and that and everything. And
so technically they were trying to get her on they thought it was stolen at first because the plates didn't match up. At most, they would have gotten illegal attachment of plates.
Right.
But
it would have checked off a box.
And she basically was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a cop like this. And Bradford, for all of his blustering, basically said, it's your call.
Yeah.
And she told the woman, you know, I'm going to give you a warning. Please don't do it again. The woman's in tears. You know, she had a night job.
Yeah. And he's like, well, on the plus thing, you can check off ethical dilemma.
Yep.
On the other end, then you have West, who's trying to railroad this person.
Well, not just that, but West has decided in the previous episode, he confronted his dad and found out that his dad is not as squeaky clean as he thought he was.
Right.
That the criminal informant had been telling the truth about his dad. And he's like, look, it was a different time. We did different things. And so West is now suddenly having a crisis of conscience.
Yeah, he doesn't know who he is or how kind of officer he wants to be or should be. Right. And
because he's always modeled himself after his dad. Yeah. Everything up until this point has been like, you know, I want to beat my dad's record. I want to do this. And now he's just like, so he kind of goes in the opposite direction. Like he puts the shades on and he's trying to. And I love his TO. I love Lopez because she literally says to him at one point, she's like, look, you confronted your dad. He never tells her any of this. And she's like, you confronted your dad. You found out he's not as squeaky clean as you thought. You're having a little crisis here. I'm giving you leeway to work through it. But you're not doing it this way.
Right. He tries to railroad a guy because he had an old drug possession like years ago. And so he's like, well, that gives me probable cause to search you. And now I'm going to search the vehicle. And he literally rips his whole car apart. And then he finds like underneath the folded down seat, this empty baggie of stuff. And he's like, oh, I'm going to get you for drug possession. Da, da, da. And he's like, that's not mine. I just bought this car. I've been clean. Like, I don't know, you know. And Lopez or whatever is just like, there's nothing in it. Oh, it's residue. And residue technically qualifies as da, 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 da. And finally, she's just like, basically, she's like, bullshit. No, yeah. She turns to the guy, sorry, have your boss call me. I'll tell him the reason why you're late, because you're helping out the LAPD on an important case.
Yeah.
He's like, thanks. He's like, and he's like, thank you very much, whatever. And then she just ripped into him like, this is not how you're going to do this.
Right.
You know, and that's how like, she gives him that speech, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, if you do a cursory glance, you can see from the auction records that he bought this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
From a police auction.
Yeah.
You know, this is not his stuff. You are not going down this road.
Yeah.
And it was cool. I really liked her because I feel like that pair doesn't get a lot of the screen time.
No, they don't.
You know, compared to Bradford and Chen and Nolan and Talia.
Talia, yeah.
So it was nice to see a really good, like, exchange between the two of them like that. And it was cool that she acknowledged, you know, she's like, I can tell that you're doing this. That's fine, but not like this. You stepped over a line at this point.
And Nolan being Nolan goes into the chief's office anyways and gives a good speech about Talia. But Talia's appreciative.
Yeah. Sarge isn't.
No, he's not. He's like, and
Talia, the chief played by Stephen Lang.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
But Talia's appreciative of it. And I like when the Sarge goes like, you know, in 2 weeks or like next week, whatever, he can quiz you on anything in that rookbook. I know it front and back already. Page 47. How many commas?
Yeah.
There's a good way to end it.
Yeah. Well, next week is the season finale.
And oh, is it?
Yes. So we're going to – I assume we're going to pick up right where we left off. The preview shows a big thing. It's one of those biological agents.
Okay.
Somebody's unleashing a biobomb on the city, you know, and they have one scene where they show Bradford, like, clutching at his throat, and they're like, you might be infected, you know, the voiceover. And so I'm sure that they'll get us all worked up, but thoroughly enjoyed this show this season.
Oh, yeah, I have too. I'm very surprised just how much I enjoyed it.
Yep, I'm excited that it's ending, but I can't wait for it to come back because this has been a lot of fun. This has been a really good episode, a really good series.
So,
yes.
The Flash.
That was you catching up, right?
Yeah, I don't need to talk about it. You kind of highlighted it. I'm good.
Yeah.
Whatever. Because we haven't had an episode since March the 19th.
Yeah.
And then...
Supergirl? This was... So, the previous week, we had the House of L.
Yeah.
This week, we had the other side of that. What was going on in the background.
I do like it when they do those episodes.
Yep.
When you see, you know, the two episodes and you see both sides of things. I do agree.
And also,
that.
We got to see the lead up to how Tessmacher was basically inserted into the Daily Planet.
Yes.
How Lex has been planning all this stuff, how he's been manipulating the Warden. We got to see the classic hologram in the jail cell.
Yes.
You know, when he goes away for 48 hours, they're like, how are you going to do it? And the hologram springs to life. I'm like, oh, Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
But this was basically also to introduce us to the Red Daughter.
Yes.
Because we essentially at this point now know that it was the Heronel / Black Kryptonite that split Supergirl into the two different.
Right.
You know, so you've got Supergirl and then you've got Red Daughter. We got to see Lex's manipulation of Red Daughter and building her up and getting her to the point where basically they got Supergirl trapped. You know, everyone knew that Supergirl was near the White House, and then they got her trapped in some kind of suit that immobilized her so that then the Red Daughter could go in and impersonate her and attack the president, make it look like Supergirl was...
And then, of course, they unleash hell on Supergirl. Then.
Right, right. It was... they really kind of built Tessmacher up as a... maybe not a criminal mastermind, but she was definitely not a floozy.
No, not at all. Yeah.
No, she had a pretty good head on her shoulders. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Of course, though, you know, Alex and Lena and Haley, you know, they all think Supergirl's not guilty.
Right, right.
She's got to have some people on her side.
Exactly, yeah.
But it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't disliked it, but...
Yeah. I like this episode better because, like I said, they got into the backstory of, like, Red Daughter and stuff.
I have no idea what Arrow's status is at all.
Okay. We haven't had an episode in a while. The big thing is, like I said, you know, Emily Bett-Rickard isn't coming back for the final 10 episodes next season.
Yeah.
So not quite sure how they're going to do that because she's alive in the future.
Yeah.
But they faked her death in the future. So I don't know if they're going to do that now. Like, they'll fake her death at the end of this season, maybe. Legends. There were two episodes
of Legends. I watched them both. Legends was great.
Yep.
Sincerely, I really enjoy Legends.
I do too.
I think it's a very, very good show.
And I'm sure the fact that the very first episode had a werewolf luchador wrestler,
now,
and they really got into the lucha thing.
I'm going to say it wasn't very accurate.
No?
On the wrestling side.
Okay.
I mean, it was, but it wasn't.
You mean the moves or the whole lucha?
The moves.
Okay.
So I like Mona a lot. And so basically, the two episodes kind of merged together. I watched them both at once, even though I know they're both completely different. But
the first one was all about the Cope.
Yeah.
The...
Essentially, Hank makes it look like that Mona helped release the Cope.
Yep.
He releases doctored footage.
And so Eva immediately says, yes. Oh, that must be it. Let's kill her.
And then what's her face there?
Sarah
believes that Mona's wrong,
mm-hmm.
But then of course they eventually discover that Hank is the one that put the false
footage
in there. She sees the real footage, and then she tries to tell Eva about it, who for whatever reason ain't listening.
No, really violently, like, Sarah, I need you on my side for this right now.
And then later on, you know, when Sarah defies Eva and the Legends, you know, save the day and blah, blah, blah. She's like, congratulations, Sarah. The Legends once again save the day.
Yeah. I needed you on my side. You couldn't do that for me.
Exactly.
So we can't be together.
Yeah. I asked you to be there for me and you couldn't. It was stupid.
That part was stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. It was stupid.
Yeah. It almost, I'm hoping that we find out that this Eva is actually one of the other clones from that future.
I don't know.
I did like the dance that they did, though. It was fun watching Sarah and Eva dance on the dance floor with the rose and everything. That was cool. But Hank/Biff is just a real piece of work because he basically wants to get these magical creatures as weapons.
But we find out he's working for someone.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's a little sketchy.
That's more in the second episode.
Yeah,
and it was interesting for me because he kind of reminded me of one of the villains of the Magicians show.
Okay.
But that guy was really creepy. And in his true form had, like, no face.
Yeah. Creepy. Creepy.
Yeah. Creepy. But basically, Mona wants to rescue the Cope and live with them. It's a Beauty and the Beast kind of thing. He ends up back in the, what? Like
1961.
Okay, yep.
And they're going to go to Hawaii.
Yep.
And Mona says, I can't go with you. You know, I have to. And then he gets killed. Kurani gets killed.
If we take it back a minute here, he was in 1961 and because she basically threw him through a time door.
Yes.
And so when he landed there, they basically turned him into a lucha wrestler, but he doesn't speak good English and he doesn't speak at all, basically. He just knows fighting. So he was a great fighter, but he didn't know how to take a fall. So he just literally beat up all of his opponents, beat them in a submission.
became a hero.
And then when the Legends went and pulled him out of there, they altered the timeline because he was supposed to be in this big match and he wasn't. So now everybody thought that it was a government cover-up and conspiracy theorists.
And then they got revolted against the government and it got bad.
So he had to fight the fight. They had to teach him to take a fall.
They had to teach him how to wrestle, how to work a match.
Yeah. And then he's supposed to go to Hawaii and he gets shot.
Yeah. And Mona, in her rage, basically transforms like the werewolf into a
Cope herself.
Yeah, and kills that agent and then turns back to human.
Yeah, she seems to have control over it. I mean, when she gets angry, it's a Hulk kind of thing.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah, but she turns herself back, so.
And then in the getaway, which is the next episode, we're in the, for whatever reason.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Before we get to this one, when did Nate and Zari become a thing?
I don't remember.
I feel like they just kind of pulled this out of their ass. Because, Nate was originally with Amaya. And they had that whole big, you know, oh, Jesus. And now he's just like, they kind of joked about, you know, you're going to have to pretend to be my date to go to this big formal thing. And she's like, okay. You know, like, she's nervous because she really likes him.
And then Nate's mom thinks that that's his girlfriend.
Yeah. And they're like, she's like, well, I wouldn't be opposed to the idea to somebody.
Right.
It's like, when did that become a thing?
And now she's working for the Time Bureau?
Yeah. With Nate.
Nate?
Yeah.
The be on the inside against the, well. So in this episode, they're in 1973, and Richard Nixon has a bug that doesn't let him lie, so he's being honest, and it's destroying the country.
Yeah, because pretty soon all the world's leaders think that he's unstable, and they basically bomb the shit out of the U.S.
Right. And so they go back to get him to this, basically, like, was it down in Orlando that he has to get to this Disney conference thing, and they got to get him ready to lie, and Constantine pulls the bug out of him, and then comically, when people tell a lie, a good whopper, the bug, like, forces his way into them.
Yeah.
And then they...
Because they had him in a jar, but then Mona decided, oh, we just need air.
Yeah, so she pokes a giant hole in the jar, and the bug can squeeze out of it.
Yeah. And it was funny watching it, like, slam into their mouth, and they're like, oh!
And then they just start telling the truth, and it goes from person to person to person. Nate basically discovers that Hank has property... like a deed in his name from years ago, and you know that he finds out that like there really is these guys there. They're experimenting on the Copay and all the people like that. And when Ava confronts, or when Sarah confronts Ava about that, Ava's like, "Yeah, who cares?
Yeah,
you were sending them to hell. What's the big deal?
Right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What's the difference?"
And in the grand scheme of things, yeah, sending them to hell versus torturing them. I guess I can kind of see her point, but at the same time, she is awfully company woman all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, again, we come back from hiatus, and it feels like it's just a completely different
Ava. Yeah, it really does.
And a completely different Nate and Zari.
So trying to figure things out, like, so at one point, they're trying to get, what's his face, Gary, to get into...
Where's my nipple?
Get into Hank's email.
Yeah.
To discover things, and he ends up having to get Nora to help him do it.
Yes.
So he lets Nora go to help him do it. And someone walks into Hank's office, and Nora gets a bad feeling.
Yeah, like almost migraine kind of thing.
Yeah. And then so later on, basically, we Nate confronts Hank about what he's doing, because he has the truth bug in him. Confronts Hank about what he's doing, and talks about how shitty the relationship is, and how great he'd like it to be, and how these last couple of days have been great, and this and that. Hank has a change of heart, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm not going to work for these people anymore because I'm going to be on the straight and narrow and be there for my son because I have a new partner." And so they kill him.
Yeah.
And Nora can sense that something bad is happening, so she uses her powers to break the force field in her cell and get out of there and go check on Hank. And by the time she gets there, Biff is dead.
Yep.
And then, of course, Nate rolls in. He just assumes Nora must have killed him.
Yeah. And she's sitting there over the dead body.
Which is definitely not the case.
Nope.
But then
she does wave a force and...
Oh, she's got to get out of there because she's afraid now.
Yep. I don't blame her.
I don't blame her at all.
I got to say, so you would think the Legends would just, you know, take Nixon in their ship. But the Time Bureau is watching their ship. They've got to go in an RV.
Yeah.
And they're trying to avoid the cops and avoid Biff. Yeah. And so... All their communications are going to be monitored, so they come up with a brilliant idea. Zarya is a radio DJ.
Yes.
Zarya is a great voice for radio DJ.
Oh, certainly does.
My God, when she started talking, I'm like, damn, woman, I can get into this.
Yeah, so they use, like, the FM radio, whatever, to monitor and get their information, you know, in a subtle way or whatever.
Yep.
Of course, Hank finds out about it.
Right.
Hank finds out someone hacked in his office, finds all about it, this and that, and then he kind of confronts Nate about it a little bit, and then especially after they finally corner the Legends and arrest them, and then Nate, that's when he has his big blow up with him, and then,
Yep.
Ultimately leads to Hank's death.
Yeah.
So the next episode I'm seeing probably has something to do with the funeral and Constantine bringing someone back from the dead, I would assume. It's called Seance and Sensibility, so.
Maybe they're going to bring Hank back and ask him who the guy was that was pulling the strings.
Yeah, maybe. We'll find out.
Yes, we will.
Let's see. What else we got to chat about?
I only see a couple other shows on my list.
All right.
I did watch a new half-hour comedy series I wanted to talk about briefly.
Oh, what's it called?
It's called Abby's.
Oh, I want to see that one. The one on NBC about the illegal bar in the backyard. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah?
It really is. You know, Neil Flynn is always good.
Neil Flynn's great.
And then I can't think of the guy's name, but the one who is her landlord. Basically, she is a former Desert Storm vet, sergeant, and She came back. They tell you all this in the first episode. She came back, did some waitressing jobs and bartending jobs, and didn't like people telling her what to do all the time. So she just basically started up a bar in her backyard. And her landlord is an old woman who lives out on the other coast, and she just mails her checks every month. And now this guy shows up and basically says, yeah, that was my aunt. She's dead. I inherited the house, so this is mine now. I'm your landlord, and what the hell is going on here? It's fun. It's a half-an-hour comedy. It's got some vibes of Cheers to it.
You know, that's cool.
They've got rules. I mean, like, hundreds of rules, and, like, if you challenge one of the rules, then there's, like, things that have to happen in there. They've got different bells. Like, she accidentally rings the happy birthday bell, and as soon as she does, everybody just starts singing happy birthday because it's the happy birthday bell. Yeah, you'd like it. It's okay. Good. There's been three episodes so far.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out.
So, yeah, I've only got two other shows listed here, but they're doozies.
All right. I'm assuming one's The Orville.
One is The Orville.
What's the other one?
Cloak and Dagger.
Well, let's talk about Cloak and Dagger.
Okay.
So, for me this season, we've had three episodes.
Yep.
The first two episodes, I was like, okay. Well, they are what they are.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really blown away.
Okay.
And then the third episode. Whew. Third episode was excellent.
See, I really enjoyed the first two episodes. More than you did, obviously. And then the third episode did the same thing. And I went, wow.
That third episode was pretty damn good.
So in the first episode, we basically pick up after it's been like 8 months.
Eight, 9 months, something like that.
Since the first season, you know, things have happened. Basically, Tyrone is still on the run because they think that he killed the cop. So he's hiding out in the church where Tandy's been. Tandy is actually getting on with her life. She's going to these abuse support groups with her mom and making some real headway. Her mom, you know, she's actually telling her mom, you were heroic for doing what you did, for keeping me safe.
Yep.
Her mom admits what she did, you know, admits her part in staying with these people. Tandy's life is actually getting better, and she's dancing for some reason.
Well, she was dancing previously, so she's doing ballet again.
But she's not very good at it. Like, she's struggling where some of the other girls, like, have it.
Right. Well, because she'd been out of it when you've been out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just like riding a bike, like they say.
Again, the episodes are kind of probably merged together for me, but Tammy's been going to these support meetings for these abusive relationship things because of issues she has with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's trying to get over. So her way of dealing with it is to help these women.
In her own way.
In her own way. And it doesn't go as planned.
Always, yeah. Because we only hear about a couple of the other ones, like one where she cut a guy's axle.
Yeah.
You know, in his vehicle to teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
And then we get to see the most recent one, which is a woman who's basically crashing with her friend, and she doesn't want to be there. You know, she doesn't think there's a problem. She's like, the only reason I'm here is my friend said that if I crashed on her couch, I had to come to these meetings. Right. So I'm just sitting here listening. And they're like, well, you could talk. She's like, no, I don't want to.
But then she does.
Yep.
And then Tandy goes to deal with her husband.
Yep.
And instead of going the way she thinks, which is leave her alone, blah, 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 instead he's like, these guys broke in for no reason, and they beat me up, and yada, yada. For whatever reason, she falls for it, goes back to him, and Tandy's pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And she lays into this girl, and it basically is just like, are you an idiot? What is wrong with you?
Which is the last thing that you want to do to somebody who's in an abusive relationship.
Absolutely. And so she takes off.
Yep. And nobody can find her for a while.
And then...
This was what was cool about the second episode. Like, the first episode was more like bringing us back up to speed.
Yeah.
We see that O'Brien, the cop, she can't shoot anymore. Like, she was underwater for quite a while. She's okay now. She's been in the hospital, we've heard. People have asked her about her shoulder and if it healed up, but she can't shoot worth shit. Like, she couldn't even hit the silhouette. She was off the page with most of her shots. And Tyrone is sneaking. He's gotten really good at teleporting.
Yes, he has.
He's sneaking into drug houses
and
basically stealing their stuff and then taking it to the cop, O'Brien. And she's like, stop doing this. Because, like she says, and again, it's kind of like with a rookie, the realism that they put on this. You know, it's not just, oh, you stole money, you're a hero. She's like, they're going to wonder where that went. So they're going to go after their rivals up the street, and they're going to cause a gang war. And the rivals up the street are much more heavily armed. These guys are going to get killed, and the rivals are going to move in, and we'll have a more heavily armed group here.
And she's right.
Yeah. I was like, good on them for, you know, slapping that down. But the second episode was where we got one of these told from three different sides. you know, basically Tyrone wanted to make it up to O'Brien.
Excuse me. Yes, actually, now that you say that, I thought that was really good how they kept doing that. Three different points of view, and it would reset. Like, you'd get to a point, and then it would reset and get to that point again, and then reset and get to that point again, and then take off from there. And
yep.
So that was kind of neat.
It was. He basically, the two gangs were going to come together in the back of this place and talk it out. No guns. We're just going to talk it out. Yep. It had an OG gang member who was there, who's been there for years. He was going to be the moderator, and they were going to try to hash this out. So Tyrone says, I'm going to sneak in there, plant a microphone or a tape recorder, and get them all on tape. Him and Tandy were kind of watching, you know, waiting. And then they see somebody's head get splattered against the window.
Yeah.
And they run in there, and everybody's dead. So, and he sees that some guy took, like, flour or cocaine or something and made a voodoo symbol on the floor. And that's kind of where we pick up. So, you know, O'Brien kicks the two of them out. She's like, I got to clean up this mess. Get out of here.
She catches them.
Yep.
Finds them there.
I got to wipe down your prints.
Yeah.
And so we see Tyrone goes and talks to his girlfriend's mother, who does the voodoo and stuff. She talks about how this is a mother figure who basically helps with revenge or justice. And he tries to summon her and gets teleported into the back of an ambulance.
Yeah.
With a girl strapped in. And it's the one that Tandy was yelling at.
Yes. Who's disappeared and Tandy's trying to find.
Yep. And she's like, please help me, please help me. And some guy pulls a shotgun on Tyrone, and he tries to teleport out with the girl, and he can't because he doesn't know how to do that.
Well, I think maybe it wasn't because she was strapped down or he didn't have enough time, but he knows how to do it.
Mm.
We've seen him do it, you know, many times now, actually.
Right.
I liked how his girlfriend was just like, I kept waiting for you to tell me that you were okay and tell me everything was fine and you couldn't, this and that, and then he finally shows her that he can teleport. Well, how long have you able to do that? Oh, you know, ever since, blah, blah, blah. So 8 months ago you could do this? Yeah. So you could have teleported at any time and told me you're okay and teleported out. I like how she she didn't take like, oh, wow, you can do that. That's amazing. And instead she just went back to her, you could have.
Yeah.
And you chose not
you
to.
You literally had the power to walk through shadows. Nobody would have seen you. He's like, it was too dangerous. She's like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
And walks away.
And then in the third episode, we basically, you know, she.
Well, the third episode picks up at the very end of the second episode.
Yeah.
Because they finally find out that there's these ambulances, these fake ambulances that are picking girls up, shooting them up full of heroin, and probably doing sex trading or, you know, just human slave trading. And that's where this girl was. That's why when they found her dumped in front of the hospital, she was whacked out on heroin. They're like, why? She doesn't do drugs.
But then we see Mayhem.
Yeah.
She appears, I think, wasn't it at the end of the second episode?
No.
It was the beginning. Okay. Basically, Bridget finds out that she's split in half somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And they do show us an experiment in one of the labs with the mice who split in half.
Yep.
And we find out that the new dominant mouse killed the old mouse almost in every instance.
And as the scientist said, basically, it felt like one of them decided that there was no need for two of them to be there. That it was wrong for two of them to be there.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. At first, we think that this is just a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. Because O'Brien is drunk off her ass, puking in the street.
And we just see, like, the two of them side by each as a reflection. So it just could be her inner self talking at her. Because we hear the... you know, like, you're a disgrace, you're this, you're that, whatever.
You were weak and pathetic.
Yeah, and it's my turn now, and walks off. So you almost think, like, oh, it's like a split personality, because then we see her later, and we think it's her, but now all of a sudden it's the new her because of
right.
But no, it's legit two different people.
Yeah, and we see that at the very end of the second episode, because Mayhem literally looks at them, and she's face-to-face with Bridget, and she goes, well, looks like the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
Then we get the third episode.
And we get to go back in time, and we get to see the storylines from when Mayhem pulls herself out of the drink, and how her life's progressing to now, and then Bridget's life progressing to now, and then how they kind of cut back and forth, and then we catch right back up to episode two, where the first time that Bridget presents herself to Mayhem, and it was fantastic.
It was fantastic. This show just keeps on going well. You always have that nerve-wrackingness, because if you like a show, like, say, The Rookie, you know, you really love the show. It ends on a good note, which I'm assuming it will.
Yeah.
And then when the second season comes back, you kind of you're hoping that they don't screw it up.
They haven't.
No.
Um, I liked at the end of the third episode when Mayhem shows up at this place where these girls were. And when she shows up, like, what's her face? Tandy's like, look, we've saved them all. We got them out. They're all safe. They're all gone. Bridget's got them. You know, they're in safe hands now. And Mayhem's like, good. And then she grabs a gun and she just goes and starts blasting away.
This will make my part easier.
And she starts blasting away to kill everybody. And there's this kid about the same age as Tyrone or whatever who sees Tyrone
teleporting.
Yep. And he's like, how'd you get in here? And then later on, like, he's kind of frozen and Mayhem's going to kill him.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you see the smoke from Tyrone kind of appear and it absorbs the bullets apparently. And then he absorbs Mayhem.
Yeah.
Now she's like trapped in his, in a void somewhere. I mean, I don't know if it's inside him or what it is. Well,
remember he did that last season of that cop too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she gets confronted with her boyfriend who died.
Yep.
Who was murdered in the previous season.
But she finds him in the fridge like she found him in real life. And what does he say? Like, who's up for makeup pancakes or something?
Yeah, yeah. Something like
that. Yeah. Oh.
So it was very good.
Yes. Yeah. And I liked all the little details, like the playing cards. You know,
yes.
The playing cards with the – she's like, okay, I learned a trick. You know, a CI taught – or a detective taught me to keep my notes on playing cards. And I didn't understand how he organized them at first until I learned a card trick. And she's like laying them out. She's like, okay, so the girls would have to do with this and blah, blah. She's like, this is where she's going. This is how she's going to do it. It's crazy good.
Yeah, this show it is.
Just great.
It's very good. I enjoy it.
I'm really enjoying – I've been watching them on my lunch break.
Basically,
I go down to the cafeteria and I eat and I just sit there and I stare at the screen. I'm like, this is great. This is awesome.
It's a good way to spend 45 minutes.
It is.
And then probably, I guess, my favorite show on TV right now. We're pretty damn close. The Orville.
They really...
Another great episode.
Did it again.
So basically, the Mauchlins upgrade the weapons on the Orville, as well as the rest of the fleet, you know, in case they have an issue with the...
The Kylons.
The Kylons,
They're assuming.
Yeah. You know,
the Kylon threat is coming. They will come back. So the Mauchlins, being the warlike race, being the ones with all the weapons.
Yep.
They're like, yep.
And they just ask if they'll transport a couple of Mauchlins for them.
Yep.
And so they do. Excuse me. And this watching this episode, I was just like, oh, John was right. He called it months ago. He's like, he said months ago, you stated that the Mauchlins will be end up the race that they have the big war with because we won't the Union won't be able to get over the Mauchlins' beliefs. And I thought we were heading that way in this episode because essentially the two Mauchlins that the Orville's transporting, they have a daughter who's in a stasis chamber. And
although it isn't really their daughter, like this is what they say, but they're part of a bigger underground railroad kind of thing.
Correct. Well, I don't know because they're still holding the girl. They imply it's their daughter,
right?
And that they're trying to get to safety so they can raise her as she is. And of course, Bordas never wanted to change his son over, and his son's being a dick to girls because they're inferior. Because that's what his other dad's teaching him and telling him that girls are inferior. So
Clyden won't change.
It doesn't matter what they think or whatever.
Yep.
And Bordas is just like, you know, Clyden, you've never wanted to be on the ship. You don't associate with the crew. You haven't basically calls Clyde on the carpet for being old and archaic and stuck in his ways. And Clyde says, but these are our traditions. You're abandoning our traditions. So they both have they feel like they're both right.
Oh, he basically says, he's like, Kelly's sitting right here. You haven't acknowledged her. You haven't looked at her. You haven't said hi to her.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
And he's right to an extent. So they end up, of course, you know, the cat, because he told his son, just to show his son, hey, look, see, there's female Mauchlins out there. Mm-hmm. He tells Clyden, and Clyden, of course, tells the captain. The captain's pissed because the captain's like, what if this girl's been kidnapped? What if they're not doing what they say? Like, we're responsible for that. Yeah, and, you know, we can't damage our relationship with the Mauchlins over this. So they end up following their vapor cloud or whatever it is, even though they tried to mask it, into this...
Nebula?
No, thank you. Nebula. And on this planet, which is inhabited with like 6,000 female Mauchlins or whatever it is. And there's apparently more than just one of these planets out there.
Right.
And so for Bordas, this is awesome. You know, And they're afraid, though, that the Mocklin's going to show up, and these are all fugitives in their minds. Mm-hmm. They've broken the laws, and they're going to be forced to have gender reassignment surgery and then basically in prison.
Yep.
Because that's what they believe. So the captain proposes that they try to get recognized as an independent state.
Well, because he runs into that female leader that they tracked down on Mockless before.
Yes.
You know, the one who was a writer, and she was basically she lived in exile as the only one.
Right.
And, here she is. She makes the trip back and forth to kind of organize this whole
and
underground
movement. She's done like a dozen trips and this and that. So they go to the, basically now we have a political episode where they go to the Senate and they make their cases, and the Mocklins were like, there's no case to be made here. They're not people.
Right.
They're inferior. They're criminals. They need to have, you know.
And, they were mistakes.
Right. They were mistakes. And everyone else is like, but they make a lot of great arguments back and forth. Like, because we get to see, you know, like Ted Danson and all the other captains, admirals and everything. And
it was great that they brought them all in.
Basically, it's like, look, these are their beliefs. We can't condemn them because they don't believe in the same thing we do.
Right. Which is I said was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, you know, like we can't, and then one of the guys in this is like, you know, if we make this decision now, that, you know, tell the Mocklins they can't live the way that they've always lived, and they can't believe in what they believe in, who's to say, like, who we're going to go after next and say, like, oh, we don't agree with your way of life and ideology.
And then, of course, we also got the argument from one of them that said, look, we can't fight against the Kalons without the Mocklins because they have the war, they have the weapons.
And the Mocklins basically are like, well, what if the Skrull join us instead, and... Mm. And then, you know, well, what will you do then? Like, you know, because remember, we have the guns. And then at the end of the day, they make a compromise where the women will shut down the pipeline. They can stay on their planet and have their be themselves. They will not be admitted to the Units of Free State. And the Mocklins will not try to go there and force them to come back and force them to assimilate and on and on and on.
Right.
And they'll continue supplying the Union with weapons. And the captain's Ed's just like, oh, I'm sorry, it didn't go the way we wanted. She's like, what are you talking about? Maybe we're not recognized as a free independent state, but they're not going to bother us. We don't have to live in fear anymore. We can, you know. And, of course, prior to that decision being made, the Mocklins sent a battleship over.
Yep.
And then they send the people down to the planet to basically capture the fugitives and round them up because the Mocklins are trying to get this done before any decision is made at all.
Right.
And then Kelly goes down and tries to stop them, and, you know, she's sacrificing her career just in case this goes wrong, and Bordas agrees to help her.
No, demands to help her.
Yeah, that's right. Not even agrees, demands. And she's like, no, you can't do this, and he demands to go
she's
down.
She's like, you might have to fire on your own people. And he's like, I'm so coming.
So they go down. There's a hell of a battle.
Oh, before they go down, they get caught in a tractor beam from the battleship.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And the security officer is sitting on the bridge, and she's like, fire on their, just on their... You know,
on the tractor beam. Yeah.
And the pilot's like, dude, that's an act of war.
Yeah, you can't make this decision. We got to get Kelly on the line. And she's like,
she'll never make that call. She's like, if she can risk her career, I can risk mine. Fire. And we get a big battle on the ground and we get a battle in the air.
Yeah.
All to the tune of 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Dude, amazing. Somehow that was amazing. Because they're going back to the planet and they play music. For whatever reason, they play 9 to 5. And
Ed was telling her that she could look at all of the female artists in Earth's history and she could get some inspiration from them. And the first thing she comes to is Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. And she's like, she has a voice like a thunderbolt. And she's crying out her anthem. And
even during Havina's speech, she quotes Dolly Parton.
I love how Ed's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be bad. The Admiral's like, what? And he's like, no, just wait for it.
But yeah, a whole freaking battle, the 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton was absolutely freaking hilarious.
Yeah. They must have gotten a special deal because, you know, we also had that in the beginning of Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
So it's like Fox did a 2-for-1 or something.
And then we get the end of the episode sees Bordas going to check on his son at school, and his son's playing nicely with another girl, with another student who's the female.
Yep. And I believe we've only got 2 episodes of this show left.
I think so, too, which is really sad because it's such a good show.
Now, one thing that bothered me about this, and it may be splitting hairs, but it still bothered me, was the fact that when Ed and his crew took their shuttle down and landed on the planet's surface.
Yeah.
The moment they landed and stepped out, they were surrounded by female Mocklins with cannons.
Yes.
And they were walked back to the village by all of these guards with the cannons and held at gunpoint.
And where were they when the Mauchline men came down and a big fight started?
Yeah.
I was wondering the same
thing. Yeah. I'm looking at this and I'm like, no. These people were armed. They were protected. They had guardians.
Yeah. I was wondering the same
thing. I mean, you could make the argument, oh, well, it was night. But no, that would, especially if there was a ship in orbit above there and they knew that their leader was off trying to, that was the one problem that I really had with this. But otherwise, awesome episode.
Yeah, I would lean to agree.
Really liking the security officer.
Oh, I like the new security officer, which I'm surprised because I like the old security officer so much.
This one seems to come with a few more miles on her.
Yeah.
So she's got more wisdom and a bit more, you know, pluck, I guess. She doesn't seem like she's trying to prove herself as much. She's more like, no, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Oh, and Jonathan Franks directed that episode.
And the school teacher was Marina Sirtis.
So, yeah, and we got another Next Generation or Star Trek alumni in the episode as well. With the British accent threw me off tremendously.
I'm pretty sure, I didn't look it up, but the guy who was talking at the council,
yes,
he's from Star Trek as well.
Yes, I feel like he was, I know I saw him on
like Star Trek. Deep Space Nine.
Yes, I know I saw him on Deep Space Nine or something as well. But yeah, I love, again, this show just, it's so good, and it feels like an old-time syndicated show to me, and the music is awesome. And again, like, the space fight scene with the Orville ship and the Mauchline ship was awesome.
Yeah,
the battle on the ground was
like,
awesome.
It wasn't like just, you know, slowly. I mean, like Star Trek in the past, it would just be like standing there firing at each other.
It was good. It was a great, it's a great show.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah.
I would love to meet Seth MacFarlane just to thank him for this show.
Yes.
And that's it for me for TV shows. Did you watch any movies this week?
I did not.
I don't think I did either. If I did, obviously I don't remember it.
I recorded a couple of them. HBO just had Crazy Rich Asians last night. And then next week it's got Black Klansman, which I really want to see.
So Black Klansman's amazing.
Yeah.
And Crazy Rich Asians, I have no fucking iota to want to watch this.
I do. Just because...
That's too bad.
It got a lot of high ratings. It's supposedly a really good rom-com. So I'll check it out. It may be a backgrounder, but... also, we're recording Sunday, April 14th.
Which is Game of Thrones returns tonight. Game of
Thrones.
Yeah.
Yep.
Means I gotta buy HBO for a couple months.
Oh.
Although I haven't tried your password on my TV. Because my Roku account, like, I'd put it in, I could watch an episode, and then, like, oh, you have to...
Yep.
And then finally I was like, oh, too bad.
Yep. It was a wah-wah.
Yeah.
Did you watch any movies? You said no.
No. I got a couple trailers.
I do as well.
What was the trailer or movie? It's coming around Christmas time. Shit, what was the name of that movie? Oh, yeah, Star Wars, Episode 9. Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker.
So now, do you think Rey's Skywalker, or do you think they're talking about Ben?
I think that those are what they want you to think.
Yeah.
I think that it's possible that it's going to be Leia.
Yeah.
You know, because she didn't die in the last one.
Well, I know, but I remember, okay, so I watched the trailer. Mm-hmm. You see her in the trailer. First of all, the teaser trailer is fucking amazing.
It is.
Because it doesn't give away a lot, but it gives away enough.
And it gives plenty of Luke talking.
And you get like a minute, like the first minute or whatever is Rey standing there.
Yep.
And then the X-Wing bearing down on her. And then she fucking...
That was an interceptor.
Sorry, interceptor. And then she jumps up and then puts her lightsaber out and like she's going to split it in half somehow. It was awesome. And then we get, like, a montage of stuff, and we got Billy Dee fucking Williams back as Lando Calrissian.
Yeah. Now, when they premiered this trailer, they were doing a big Star Wars event.
Yes.
And so they had people out on stage.
Yes.
They talked to Billy Dee about finding Lando again. And he's like, he was never gone. He's always been part of me.
Yeah.
He goes, for 35 years, people still walk up to me and ask me why the fuck I betrayed Han Solo.
Yeah.
I didn't betray Han Solo. I was doing the best that I could. It was Darth Vader. Darth Vader was there. Who's going to stand toe-to-toe with him and say, no, I won't help you? He's like, I cut the best deal that I could. Nobody died, did they?
Right.
He's like, we all lived. So, kudos to Billy Dee for that.
You know, and I was surprised we haven't seen him in a movie until now.
Yeah.
But maybe because with with Carrie Fisher's death.
Yeah.
With Han being killed in the first one.
Yeah.
With Luke dying in the second one. Oh, we got to bring someone. I don't care. Man. We got Billy Dee. And he looks great.
He does.
Because when you look at Billy Dee now, he looks like an old frail man who's going to die at any second.
Right.
Well, you know, that's the impression you get from the look of him. Like, well, he's got his cane and his hair's back and his sunglasses. And then they show him as Lando, and he's like, yeah! you just seen that little clip, but it was awesome. And then you get, sounds like a little cackling laugh at the end.
Yep. My first thought was, is that Snoke?
Yeah.
Is that Palpatine? A lot of people asked if it was Mark Hamill because, you know, he does the Joker as well.
Right.
But from what I read, and maybe this was wrong, but they said that while they were doing that, after they showed the trailer, Ian McDiarmid stepped out on stage.
I watched that video footage, yes.
Yeah, so Ian McDiarmid's there. It's Palpatine.
Okay. In the voice of Palpatine says, roll it again. And people lost their minds and they played the trailer again.
Yeah.
So it's...
Is he a Force ghost? Is he a clone? Has he been talking to Ben all this time?
I don't know. But he's back, clearly. So I'm very excited about this.
Yes, I am as well. Yeah, I think Skywalker is going to be something that we're not expecting.
Yeah.
It could be the new name for the Jedi Order.
Maybe.
Raise the last one.
But they also said the end of the era.
The end of the saga.
The end of the saga.
Yeah.
So this is going to be it. I mean, okay, and nine movies is going to be it. But, like,
Disney officially said that they are taking a hiatus after this for Star Wars movies. They're still going to have The Mandalorian.
Right.
They're still going to have the Rogue One prequel series that they're building with Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk.
But what I really want to see is more of Rey.
Yeah.
I don't want them to wait 30 more years or 10 more years before they do more.
Right.
Because, like... There's been a couple other things that they were going to do. Like, there was this other trilogy that was going to come out, but it was going to be in the universe, but not... Oh, no, that's been canned. And then they were going to do, like, the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. Yeah, we're not going to do that now. And that Solo movie fucked up a lot of things.
It did.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Which, I mean, the movie's exactly what I expected it to be. I think the movie is exactly what everyone expected it to be.
Yeah.
Which...
Not good.
Well, no, but you didn't care for it for your reasons, but I liked it for just the opposite reasons.
Yeah.
But we both expected that's what the movie was going to be.
Yeah.
And so it can't be a surprise.
To Disney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Whatever. I also saw a trailer, a teaser trailer, if you will, for the new season of American Horror Story, season 9.
1984.
It's called, AHS 84. And basically, it looks like an 80s slasher flick.
I will watch this.
I'm excited about it.
If that's what it's going to be this time, I will fucking watch this in a heartbeat. Because I really fell off American Horror Story, as you know. Anybody who's listened to this, I really got a sour taste.
Yeah, you did,
After, like, the first couple seasons. But, dude, 1984 and a slasher flick, I'm there. Sign me up now.
I watched a trailer for a new TV series coming to Netflix called Chambers. Did you see this one?
No, I did not.
It stars Uma Thurman.
Okay.
And I'll just read the little plot synopsis here. A young heart attack survivor... becomes consumed by the mystery surrounding the heart that saved her life. However, the closer she gets to uncovering the truth about her donor's sudden death, the more she starts taking on the characteristics of the deceased, some of which are troublingly sinister.
And it's a series, not a movie?
It's a 10-episode series, yeah. It comes out April 26th. The trailer looked really good.
I feel like I've heard this plot before.
Yeah, well...
Usually it's like an arm, like, you got a criminal's arm grafted on you, and now it's doing criminal things.
Right. Yes, but I don't know. So I'm going to check it out at the very least. Any trailers?
Yeah, I watched the new extended trailer for the Joker movie.
Okay, so...
And I went and took a shit and stared at it in the bowl for about 30 seconds and said, yeah, that's more entertaining. I'd rather watch this.
I will say this trailer looks better than the first trailer.
Yeah.
However... I still have no fucking clue why they made this movie.
I don't either.
And it looks terrible.
If this had been like a Ted Bundy movie, because, you know, the clowns and everything.
Sure.
I would have been cool with it. But the fact that they're making it a Joker movie.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Seems like a mistake, right?
It really does.
Because this whole DC universe is just completely fucked.
I guess Shazam's doing really well. I kind of want to go see it.
I do kind of want to see Shazam myself.
Shazam.
But however, though, like, the universe set is just, it's fucked.
Yeah. I saw a trailer for the new animated Addams Family TV series.
How's that look?
It looks good.
Nice.
It does look good. I mean, it's Adam's Family. The voices, I was really expecting Raul Julia, and I didn't get it.
He's dead.
Angelica Jones was not there.
Houston?
Yes, thank you.
Wasn't Angelica Jones the name of the little girl on Rugrats cartoon?
No, that was okay. Angelica Pickles.
Oh, fair enough.
But yeah, it looks good. It's going to be decent.
Yeah.
And then I watched the trailer for the new, not live action, but the new CGI Lion King.
Oh, yeah. No, that's live action.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It's not a cartoon. It's live action. Yeah,
there's no live people or animals in there. It's all CGI. It's live action. It looks fucking great. It took me right back to 1994.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. They've got similar songs. It looks similar. I mean, granted, they're more realistic. Like, Timon and Pumbaa actually look kind of creepy. But it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. I will be sitting there surrounded by small children, and I will be okay with it.
Yeah.
I'll buy extra seats on either side of me so I don't have to have their smile.
Well, you can take my kids if you want.
I'm all set with that.
You sure?
I don't want to take kids. I
take my kids.
No, I want to like
they'd love separate to go to the movies myself. Uncle John.
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
I'd love to go to the movies with Uncle John.
Anyway.
Speaking of Disney, Disney Plus came out with a whole shit ton of information.
Mm-hmm.
Launches November 12th.
Yep.
$7 a month.
Yep.
$70 for the year.
Yep. wait, was it $70 a year or?
$69.99 for the year.
Oh.
Yeah, you basically got like 2 months free.
Okay.
All 30 seasons of The Simpsons are going to be on there immediately. The Mandalorian's going to be available immediately.
Malcolm in the Middle's going to be available.
But still, they've also stated that like going forward, all new movies will be coming out on their platform.
Yeah.
They're really going
after Netflix.
They even said by the end of the year, Frozen 2 will be on the platform.
Wow.
Which is kind of, that movie's coming out this summer, or fall, or whatever it is. But all the Pixar library is going to be on there. Disney's library is going to be on there.
They don't have a vault anymore where they lock things away.
You'll be able to watch all the Disney cartoons right on there. The Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, Mickey and the Roadster Racers, The Weekenders, the one with Phineas and Ferb. Phineas and Ferb are going to have a new movie that's going to be exclusive to the new app.
Nice.
Or the new streaming service. There's a live-action Lady and the Tramp that is going to be debut on that streaming service.
Wow.
Which a couple of those I saw still of Lady and the Tramp. Looks great.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean,
they also said that they've got a bunch of unique, like I mentioned earlier, there's going to be a Rogue One prequel series that's going to be following Cassian and K2SO with Alan Tudyk and Diego Luna reprising the roles.
What's his face? Jeremy Renner. Hawkeye.
Yes.
He's getting a limited, like, 6-episode series, but it's basically showing him passing the torch of Hawkeye
to his daughter.
And him becoming Ronin, if you will. So kind of like almost a prequel to Endgame.
Or maybe it'll be an after Endgame.
Maybe, but yeah, either way. Because he's Ronin in Endgame.
Yep.
But
we're getting Loki.
Yeah, we're getting the
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I'm looking forward to that. That looks amazing.
And WandaVision.
Just one word,
WandaVision.
Just based on the interaction between Falcon and Winter Soldier in Civil War.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Can you move your seat up?
No. I was his friend first, but we're friends now. I didn't betray him like you did. You know, like just back and forth. Even when they're fighting Spider-Man, it's hilarious.
Yep.
Now I want to go watch that whole thing.
So Disney Plus, like they came out of the gate swinging.
Yeah, they did.
They're going after Netflix.
Yes, they are.
Disney, because of the Fox merger, owns 60% of Hulu now.
And they even said they're going to reduce Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talked about that's the other thing. Like right now, Hulu, I think, is $11.99 a month for the commercial free.
Right, which is the one that they keep not touching because you can get all these things like, oh, if you get a family deal or if you mix it with Spotify or if you're a student, it's always the commercial versions.
Yes. But the commercial free one's $11.99, and they even said they're going to be lowering the price of Hulu.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And Netflix is now just raising their prices again. So, I mean, I think this is – because even the day after all this announced, Disney stock went up like 11% and Netflix went down like 5% or something like that.
You'll never see Netflix go away.
No, but I think this will hurt Netflix. I think Netflix will have to change their price point.
Yep.
I don't think they'll ever go down back that low again, but I could see them dropping in a couple of bucks.
And what I would really like to see, honestly, I don't know what Disney Plus has said about this, but with Hulu specifically, I want at least three concurrent streams. Hulu Plus right now, you only get two concurrent streams at a time.
Yeah.
So two people can be watching it.
Yeah.
When you've got a household, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix, when you do the commercial free version, Netflix, when you do the high def version,
yes.
which I do, that gives you four concurrent streams. So you have an option there. You can do the basic, which is not high def, and it's two concurrent.
See, I have two concurrent.
Do you do the cheap version or the?
Mine's $13.99.
So you pay for the high def with four concurrent
streams? I paid for the extra to get the four streams, what I did when you have like. When the kids and us are all here at the house, we need that.
Yeah.
Because if Kanan's watching and Addison's watching and we're watching, or Wesley's watching on his tablet and we're watching, we need it.
Yep.
So.
Well, then you've also got YouTube TV, which we talked about recently.
Yeah.
They just went up. They increased their price by $10, their price point, but they added in all the Discovery channels. Discovery, HGTV, DIY, all these different ones.
$10 more a month for that?
And see, here's part of the problem is it's good if you want those channels.
Yeah.
But the whole point of things like YouTube Plus is to get you away from cable and saying, oh, well, you have to pay for all these channels.
Right, yeah.
You want the a la carte version.
Right.
So hopefully with Disney Plus coming out, lowering Hulu, they're going to say, okay, let's do a more a la carte thing where you click on the ones that you want and you pay X amount. Because they already have it on some of them. Like they'll say, you can get Stars for $7 a month.
Yeah.
You can get HBO for $10 a month. So do that with your other ones.
So like right now as we speak, I have Hulu, which I don't pay for until the end of the year because my sister got that 3 years free, commercial free.
Right.
Sister-in-law. That ends at the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll still pay for that. But right now, I pay for Hulu and Netflix, okay? And my wife was getting Apple Music, and she switched to Amazon Prime because it's the same price, and you get all kinds of more stuff with Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. And then I have internet. And then I have WWE Network, but WWE Network and New Japan World, those aren't things I could get with cable.
Right.
So I'm not, like... Oh, you're going to nickel dime yourself to the point where you might as well just have cable. Well, I'm not going to get those with cable, so that doesn't matter.
Right.
So, but right now at the point I'm at, like, I'm not paying more than I would pay for cable. Not even close.
Right.
But I will be getting the Disney streaming service.
I will as well.
And it's not just because of The Mandalorian and all those things. It's because my kids are going to love the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have the Disney app on the Roku TV as it is, and we watch Mickey and the Roadster Racers and all these other shows, but we only get so many episodes because we don't pay for it. So there's only so many things that are unlocked.
Right.
But for $6.99 a month, we'll be getting it and I'm hoping they put all the old Disney movies on there as well, like the Wonderful World of Disney movies, like the Computer Wore Tennis Shoes or the Herbie movies or all those, the Davy Crockett and all those live action flicks like that. I hope those go on there because I would love to watch those again, some of those again.
Yep.
So, yeah, the Apple Dumpling Gang and all those ones. The
Shaggy Dog.
The Ugly Dachshund. All those movies like that. So, yeah, that'd be really cool. So, yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's only going to be $6.99 a month.
Well, they pretty much own the world now.
So. I know, but do you think it's going to be a bait and switch? They're going to get people to subscribe and then jack the price up?
Probably. That's what everybody does. Like, literally, that is business. That is economics.
You get the first taste free, and then it's going to cost you.
Yeah. Literally, like, oh, come subscribe to our cell phone plans. The first 6 months are blank.
Yeah. But I'm most likely, when it launches, I'm just going to buy the year.
I think a lot of people will. Yeah.
$70 for a year, I mean, it's not threatening. When you look at Hulu or say Hulu at $12 a month even, that's $144 a year.
Right.
That's like, Or Netflix at $156 a year, but when you're
the big thing,
$70 a year,
streams,
yeah,
you know, and that is a sticking point. You know, YouTube TV. The reason that YouTube TV is more expensive is because you've got the live, local channels. You've got the online DVR with unlimited access,
right?
But you know, they'll tell you right up front you have three simultaneously concurrent streams.
Yeah,
you know, whereas other ones like Sling TV is one or two.
Yeah,
you know, you it's a big thing these days because not because, you know, I want to get it and give it out to my friends. It's because people have households and you're sitting down here and you're like, I want to watch the newest Avengers movie.
Yeah.
The kids are upstairs. They want to watch the Apple Dumpling game.
Yeah.
You know, you need concurrent streams.
Oh, that was the other thing. There's going to be a new Phineas and Ferb movie that's going to be exclusive. I did. Okay, I'm sorry.
You're just excited about it.
I actually really am because I think Phineas and Ferb is a great cartoon.
It is. It is.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to Disney Plus now.
Yep, me too.
I mean, it seems like they've held... I mean, all the original series they've announced alone is going to be awesome. But like, it's having the access to that library...
Right.
For those classic Disney flicks, which a lot of those you still can't find right now unless you want to pay a fortune for.
Mm-hmm.
All the Star Wars movies are going to be on there. I mean, like, it's very appealing.
And that's the other thing, too, is they just absorbed all those Fox properties. So you'll start seeing some of those show up. You know, the Alien movies, Avatar.
Yep.
You know, you're going to see these ones show up that were part of Fox.
Yep.
And pretty soon... It's good that Netflix has gone so far into original programming. Like they started off DVDs through the mail.
Yeah.
Then they started saying, "Oh, you could stream some of these movies." Yeah. And now when you go on Netflix and you see like what's new and what's trending, it's either TV shows or it's original programming. Yeah. You know?
I mean, when the Roku first came out, it was known as the Netflix streaming box.
Yeah.
Or Netflix streaming device.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I bought one of the first Rokus,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of funny. Like, it's only been a decade, probably, since that streaming box first came out, Roku first came out. But it's amazing just to see how things have changed.
I remember working at Movie Gallery and telling everybody when Netflix first appeared, and it was, you know, you could get your DVDs by mail, and people were like, nobody's going to do that. They're not going to trust that. And I said, no, this is going to destroy our business. This is going to get rid of video stores completely.
Yeah. Oh, and it did.
Oh, it sure did.
2008, May 20th, 2008, the first Roku came out. So it's been 11 years this year.
Nice.
Wow.
Now it's like built into TVs.
Oh, legit. I have a Roku TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Crazy. Well, I still wish we had video stores.
Really?
Yeah.
You can go out to Bend, Oregon. The last Blockbuster on the planet's out there.
Well,
it'd be a hell of a time returning it, but
I miss the old school walking around looking at movies on the walls. Like when I Netflix has so many choices, like it's just sitting there and scrolling through, it gets tiring. It was different when you looked at the box and you picked it up and you read it.
You just think about how funny that sounds.
Well, no,
you're like sitting on my couch and scrolling through with my thumb is so tiring. I wish I could get up, walk to the store, and then walk around the store. That would be less.
But here's the thing, though. By the time you get home with those four movies, you're more invested. So if you put one in and it's kind of the shits, you're going to keep watching it anyways, for the most part. Whereas now you start watching it and you're 10 minutes in, you're like, ah, this is garbage. Click. New one. You could have missed out on a good movie.
Yeah. It's a risk I'm willing to take.
Just saying. Anyhow, let's see. You got any news?
We covered
trailers.
The only thing other than that I will say is one show that I didn't talk about here because I haven't watched it yet. Not tonight, but last Sunday, Killing Eve came back.
Yes, it did.
And I have not watched it yet, but the day that it premiered, they announced that it was renewed for a third season.
Nice.
So it's already coming back for third.
Nice.
So more Villanelle. But I'm hoping to get caught up on that this week as well. Now that we've got some breathing room, you know, This Is Us is gone, You're the Worst is gone. There's a few more that, you know, this will be the last week of The Rookie, did we say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of these shows are going on hiatus. It's making it a little bit easier. Of course, next week we'll probably have to talk about Game of Thrones. And I believe Flash comes back this week. Maybe the other ones do too.
I think they all do.
Yeah. But Killing Eve, I'm excited that's back.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Though.
I thought Killing Eve was great, so I'm looking forward to that.
You got any other news?
No, I don't. I don't. And this is weird.
What is?
Interesting. Oh, nothing. I'm just looking at my thing, and I was logging in my Hulu because I wanted to see what something was going to cost, and... It says my next charge for Hulu is on December 25th, 2019, and it's $5.99.
No, it's Christmas. Well, yeah, because remember, you didn't want to pay for the commercialless plan. You told me that over and over again. It was a waste of time, waste of money. And then when she got that voucher for free commercialless, you just applied that to it. But they're not going to automatically sign you up for it.
No, but it was $7.99.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It was $7.99.
Like I said, a lot of their commercialists.
Hulu, no ads, $5.99.
Bullshit.
That's what it says here. I just clicked on the view and it says Hulu, no ads, $5.99. I wonder if that's the new price point that Disney's going to drop it to.
There's no way. No way they would do that. $5.99 is too cheap for all that.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Let's see here. I clicked on manage for my subscription because I wanted to see how much. Okay, so nope. My plan says Hulu, 3 years free, then $5.99 a month.
Huh.
Plan details.
Yep, my Hulu base plan says Hulu, no ads, $11.99 a month.
And that's what it says over on the left. That says what my current plan is. Then when I click on the info, it says what's included. Our ad-supported live plan gives you unlimited access to the largest streaming. So it says ad-supported. So but the price of ads dropped down to $5.99 because it was $7.99. Okay. So it was only $4 more for the no ads. Now it's six. I can't do math. $6 more. Hulu no ads plus live TV is $50.99 a month. Well, I know I'm going no ads. Oh god, $14.99 to add HBO.
That seems expensive, doesn't it?
It does. But my I gotta get it.
Yeah.
I wonder how much it is to get it through Amazon. Because, you know, I'm curious.
Seems like something we can do after the podcast.
It's $14.99 a month on Amazon as well. And I think that's what HBO Now costs, is $14.99 a month. So, oh, yeah, I guess we can look at this later. So everyone knows now how much the old HBO costs. All right, that's it for me. I'm Superstar Marl on the Twitter.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And thanks for listening.
Talk to you next week.